From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Brooklyn Strong, 10 for 10. Brooklyn Strong and 10 for 10 battled it out to the finish, and it is the New York Bred, Brooklyn Strong, to win Aqueduct's Remsen Stakes, narrowly over 10 for 10.
In October, when he won the Sleepy Hollows, that was amazing, too. And then I won my first stake race that weekend, and, you know, that was, like, the highlight. And I'm like, wow, life can't get any better. And then we turn around and win this weekend. That was crazy in itself. And then not only win one, win a graded stake, win a Remsen, a race with so much prestige and so much since 1904. That's crazy. You know, it's just one of those things that you dream about.
Highly motivated, just striding forward to take the lead for Javier Castellano. It is Highly Motivated who will take the opener.
He's a horse I wasn't sure about all the way along as far as how far he'll run. I mean, he identified himself as one of our very best dirt colts early on last summer, but he hasn't anything to change my mind about that. What's changed is how far I think he'll run in a good way. You know, he's still growing and looked like he had a good burst of speed to run around one turn on the dirt. So to me now, he's grown a bunch, just really matured. His mechanics have even improved, so I really don't think a mile and eighth will be any trouble for him, but we will find out.
Medina Spirit, tough as nails. Roman Centurion on the outside. Roman Centurion, Medina Spirit, and Hot Rod Charlie. What a game victory from Medina Spirit, who set the pace and turned them all away.
Welcome to the Equine Forum. Now, here's Mike Pena.
To steal a line from the open of the Monday Night Football telecast, are you ready for some racing? Well, you better be, because there is plenty of it coast to coast this afternoon. Good morning once again, everyone. Happy Easter weekend, and welcome to the show that launched this network. It is the Equine Forum, and another jam-packed edition coming your way right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, with you for the next 3 hours this morning, right up until 11 a.m. Eastern. 16 graded stakes are slated to be contested across four tracks later today. You have six at Keeneland, five at Aqueduct, four at Santa Anita, and one at Oaklawn. Among those, get this, are three Kentucky Derby points races, the Bluegrass, the Wood Memorial, and the Santa Anita Derby, and four Kentucky Oaks points races. Remember the Kentucky Oaks? Kind of gets overshadowed at this time of year, I think, by the boys, but don't overlook these four Oaks preps later today. The final four, if you will, the last four points races, the Ashland, the Gazelle, the Santa Anita Oaks, and the Fantasy. And for all you history buffs out there, today's trifecta of Kentucky Derby prep races go a long way toward helping you select the winner of the Run for the Roses, which, oh, by the way, in case you're wondering, is fast approaching. Now only 28 days, 10 hours, 41 minutes, and wait for it, 42 seconds away. Of course, we'll be there as your official radio home in partnership with NBC Sports Audio. We'll bring you live coverage of all the action Friday and Saturday. You'll hear the Oaks, you'll hear the Kentucky Derby, all with us here on HRRN. Make sure you're locked into our coverage all week long, too. Our Derby countdown shows kick off on Tuesday morning, and they go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday morning, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. We will be back on the backside area, the media area that Churchill sets up. We'll have our tent there. We'll bring you interviews with owners, trainers, jockeys, Bobby Newman, Jude Feld. We'll handle that broadcast each morning, and really looking forward to it. The Derby countdown shows presented by Hillandale once again this year, and happy to have our friends at Hillandale and their support of those shows. Well, the Bluegrass Stakes is second only to the Florida Derby among prep races to produce a Kentucky Derby winner. Think about that. But you know, it's been a while. Street Sense in 2007 was the last horse to prep in the Bluegrass and win the Kentucky Derby. Strike the Gold in 1991, the last horse to win both. The Wood Memorial, well, it's been even less productive in recent years, if you can believe that. 2003 was the last time a Derby winner prepped in the Wood. 2003. And it took a gutsy gelding by the name of Funnyside to pull it off. Fusaichi Pegasus in 2000 won both the Wood and the Kentucky Derby. He's the last horse to pull off that double. So you have to go back a long way, 21 years. The Santa Anita Derby is an entirely different story. Authentic was second in the Santa Anita Derby last year before wearing the roses in Louisville. You had Justify in 2018, who won the Santa Anita Derby, then took the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness and the Belmont. And four of the last nine Kentucky Derby winners have come through the Santa Anita Derby. So if you want, if you're one of those people who believes that those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it, well, all of your attention then is likely focused on the great race place later today. And if you are a disciple of recent history, you are likely gravitating toward Medina Spirit or Defunded in that race, both of whom are trained by Hall of Famer Bob Baffert, who owns a record 9 Santa Anita Derby wins and has saddled 3 of the past 9 Kentucky Derby winners. As a matter of fact, if you look at the trainers who have won the Kentucky Derby in the past decade, and you believe that experience matters in the run for the roses, these are your guys in 2021. In the past 9 runnings, there have been 3 wins in the Kentucky Derby by Bob Baffert. 2 for Doug O'Neill, 1 for Shug, 1 for Pletcher, 1 for Bill Mott, who may or may not have a Derby horse this year. The other was California Chrome for Art Sherman, who will not have a horse in this year's Kentucky Derby. So really, you're down to Baffert, Doug O'Neill, Shug, and Pletcher. Compare those connections to the current top 20, which are currently sitting on the Derby leaderboard, the top 20 horses, as of this morning. And it leaves you with the following 7 horses to consider on the first Saturday in May. Forget about the other 13. Here are the 7. Number 1 ranked, Hot Rod Charlie, Doug O'Neill. Number 3 ranked, Known Agenda, Pletcher. Number 5 is Greatest Honor, Shug. Number 8, Concert Tour, Baffert. Number 14, Sainthood, Pletcher. Number 16, Medina Spirit, Baffert. And number 19, Hozier, Baffert. Based on the trainers who are represented with the top 20 horses on the list right now, those are your 7. And if you want to take it a step further, how about this? 7 of the past 9 winners of the Kentucky Derby have come from either the Santa Anita Derby or the Florida Derby. The 2 exceptions, Country House in 2019, who, let's face it, never actually crossed the line in front. He prepped in the Louisiana Derby. And then Triple Crown winner American Pharoah in 2015, who went through the Arkansas Derby. So if your guide, and this is your guide, if this is your guide, and you truly believe in the power of history and the power of the Florida Derby and the power of the Santa Anita Derby, and you take a closer look at the 7 horses I just mentioned, Known Agenda and Greatest Honor coming out of the Florida Derby, and Medina Spirit, who is the 5-2 morning line favorite in the Santa Anita Derby today, would be the 3 horses you would be putting on top of your tickets in the Kentucky Derby as of right now, with the way that that list stands. How about that? Historical handicapping at its best. And a little food for thought, by the way. Just having a little fun this morning as we edge closer to the greatest 2 minutes in sports. Of course, this list may be updated after today's races. So you might have to take all of that information I just threw at you and tweak it a little bit. But it's definitely a fun way to try to figure out that Kentucky Derby puzzle. And for somebody like myself who is still waiting to pick his first Derby winner, then maybe this is the way I need to go this year. It also leads me to today's poll question. And the poll question presented by OwnerView and the Thoroughbred Owner Conference: which Kentucky Derby prep race are you most excited about? The Bluegrass, the Wood Memorial, or the Santa Anita Derby? Which Kentucky Derby prep race are you most excited about? We'll keep it simple. The Bluegrass Stakes, the Wood Memorial, or the Santa Anita Derby. And you can go to at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook to let me know your thoughts. You can also email the show, mike@horseracingradio.net, with some of your thoughts and some of your selections. And I'll try to pass those along as we move throughout the 3 hours here this morning. Before I get to the guest lineup, congratulations to jockey Julien Leperoux, who yesterday became just the fourth rider in history to win 500 career races at Keeneland. He joins Hall of Famers Pat Day and Don Brumfield and jockey Robbie Alborado. One of the nicest human beings you will ever have the privilege of meeting, and I could not be happier for Julien and his family and all of his success. Works his tail off. Nice to see him in the winner's circle yesterday here in the Bluegrass. There's a photo, by the way, on the Pollock Report, courtesy of Cody Photography, with Julien receiving that honor in the winner's circle yesterday. He's with his wife, Shay, and his two young sons, Mitchell and Vin. It's a great picture, one that he'll remember and keep for a very, very long time, I'm sure. All right, 8:15 this morning. Well, it's going to be a couple minutes later now. About 5 minutes from right now, the Big A is going to take a look at the Wood Memorial and today's Aqueduct Stakes races. You hear the Big A, Anthony Stabile, every single week on our race day program, on the Weekend Stakes Preview Show, and our call-in show. He'll join me in just a few minutes to preview the Big Day up at Aqueduct. 8:35, owner Greg Helm of Roadrunner Racing will tell you the story of the current Derby points leader. That's Hot Rod Charlie, the Louisiana Derby winner. That comes your way at 8:35. 8:53, it's our Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. 9 o'clock, Hour 2, begins with Santa Anita Director of Publicity Mike Willman previewing Santa Anita Derby Day. 9:25, I welcome Keeneland analyst Gabby Gaudette to get you ready for the Bluegrass Stakes program here at Keeneland and all the big races on that card later today. 9:40, the return of Unsung Heroes for this week. I visit with Bill Mott's longtime groom, Irma Scott. You will not want to miss that segment at 9:40. Can't wait to visit with Irma in this week's Unsung Heroes. 10 o'clock, it's In the Room with Sean Clancy as he sits down for a one-on-one jockey-to-jockey conversation with James Graham, fresh off his leading rider title at the Fairgrounds. 10:25, we stroll through racing history with Kurt Becker, that segment presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. And at 10:45, you'll hear from trainer Chad Brown talking about all of his contenders in today's stakes races. So an awful lot to get to this morning. It is a jam-packed Equine Forum, and it begins in just a few minutes. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Bet any track from anywhere with Keeneland Select. Keeneland Select offers something no other wagering platform does, a way to give back to the sport you love through Keeneland's reinvestment in thoroughbred racing and fan development. Become eligible for a $100 sign-up bonus after you bet $300 and $50 for every $5,000 wagered with code HRRN10 at KeenelandSelect.com or download the app free on the App Store or Google Play.
Hi, this is Joe Nicholson. During these difficult times, the team at Nicholson Insurance Agency sends best wishes to all for good health. We can all look forward to better times ahead when this pandemic is behind us. But in the meantime, we need to stay safe. Although the staff at Nicholson Insurance is working from home, phone calls into the office are forwarded so that service remains intact. Customer service professionals continue to be ready, willing, and able to help you with your insurance needs, whether it be equine, farm, home, auto, business, or life. Several of Nicholson Insurance Agency's companies are returning portions of auto premiums because of reduced travel during the isolation period, which I think is the right thing to do. Please call 859-224-7080, Nicholson Insurance Agency. Thank you.
Eddie Woods is a perennial leading consigner, having sold multiple graded stakes winners, including recent Grade 1 winner, Cafe Faro in Japan.
It's Cafe Faro in front, Cafe Faro, and along the fence, AL Nuss, Cafe Faro, can this be American Faro's Japan first Group 1 winner? Yes, it is.
Eddie Woods' training graduates include 2020 Horse of the Year Authentic and Eclipse Champion Sprinter, Whitmore. A passion for hard work that produces big-time results. Visit eddiewoods.com.
Pit Oak Stud's Alternation ranks highly among Kentucky's fourth crop sires by percentage of black type winners from runners. With nearly $5.5 million in earnings to date, Alternation was represented by five black type horses in 2020. His brilliant Kentucky Oaks winner, Serengeti Empress, won the Grade 1 Ballerina at Saratoga and was runner-up in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. First or second in six Grade 1 events, Serengeti Empress amassed over $2.1 million. Alternation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
This is Joe Rocco Jr.
I'm John Velasquez.
My name is Victor Espinosa.
This is jockey Brian Hernandez, and you're listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Wheel Away takes command by a hand more than ready on the inside. But here comes Musaiki Pegasus with huge strides, gobbling up ground and getting the lead. Musaiki Pegasus with Kit DeSormo in front. Aptitude up for the place spot. Here's the finish. Musaiki Pegasus wins it by a length and a half. Aptitude got the place spot, and I believe it was impeachment up to be third. So the 20-year jinx has been cracked, and Musaiki Pegasus wins it.
Well, Fupeg coming from the Wood Memorial to the Kentucky Derby and victorious in 2000. That was Dave Johnson with the call. Wondering if the Derby winner comes out of the Wood Memorial this year. Been a long time, 21 years since the Derby winner has prepped in the Wood. At least the Derby winner has won the Wood and then won the Kentucky Derby. You did have Funnyside, who prepped in the Wood, was beaten that day, and came back and won the Kentucky Derby. But Fupeg, the last horse to win both, and maybe the Derby winner, is among this year's field. And to tell us more about that is the Big A, Anthony Stabile, host of our weekday race day programs. You hear him on the Naira Betts Weekend Stakes Preview, and you can catch him on the BristNet.com call-in show every week. Big A, good morning, my friend. Happy Wood Memorial Day.
Thanks, Baron. Happy Wood Memorial Day. Special one here after couple of reasons. After missing it last year because of the COVID, we took the race off the calendar for 1 year, and it will be John and Brielle's first Wood Memorial after 40 plus years here at Naira.
Yeah, I read that press release that Naira sent the other day, and Johnny had some great quotes in there, and you know, you can tell it means an awful lot to him. I can remember the first time that I ever had the chance to say hello to John Embriel in person. It was at the Belmont Stakes. Yeah, it was the Belmont Stakes when Thunder Gulch won back in, I guess it was 95. It was the first official date I ever had with my wife. I took her to the Belmont Stakes. How's that for chivalry? And
amazing.
I can remember going to a restaurant across the street from Belmont Park called the Luna Restaurant that used to be advertised on the replay shows afterwards. And Johnny was there. He was with Harvey Pack, and he was nice enough to say hello. So I can always liken back to that memory of meeting John Embriel. Super nice guy.
It's a big weekend for him. It's his first Wood Memorial today, and it's his first taste of Phyllis's lasagna tomorrow. So he's going to have a big he's got a big weekend ahead.
Oh, fantastic. You know, by the way, Big A, this is also April 3rd, 2021. And a lot of people have made a big deal about this being 4-3-2-1 when you do it numerically. How many superfecta tickets do you think are going to be 4-3-2-1 cold today? You think there'll be a lot of those played?
I don't know. I'll tell you what. I don't plan on playing too much vertically in the Wood Memorial. I would not mind a 4-3-2-1 in the Wood Memorial. Okay, I'll sign that contract right now. I don't even have to hit it. I'll sign that contract right now.
Yeah, risk taking number 4, Bourbonic, long shot 30-1 on the morning line is the 3. Crowded Tail the 2, and the 1 horse from the rail is Brooklyn Strong. So you've got 3 of the contenders in there. If Bourbonic can jump up and run a big race, that is not the craziest thing in the world to think about.
No, Todd Pletcher and one of the leading riders on the circuit here, Kendrick Carmouche, that would not be the craziest thing, even though he looks a little against it today. But, yeah, it's supposed to be a nice day here, going to be in the 50s. We got back on the turf yesterday. Even though we got a bunch of rain on Thursday, the wind really dried the course out. We were fast yesterday. Turf courses had some give, but we're on the turf. It's a fast main track. It's going to be in the mid-50s. It's a great, great day. If for the return of the Wood Memorial here in New York.
All right, let's talk about some of the contenders. Later in the show at 10:40 Eastern, I'm going to replay your interview with Chad Brown. You had a chance to catch up with him yesterday on the Race Day program. People won't want to miss that because he talks about risk-taking. He talks about his contenders in the other races, including the Bluegrass Stakes, by the way. Let's start with risk-taking. He is the likely favorite in that Wood Memorial later today. Is it risk-taking in everybody else, or do you think he gets beat?
I'm a big risk-taking fan. In fact, I did something for the first time in a bunch of years. I got involved in the Kentucky Derby future wager back in Pool 4. I got a pretty nice ticket on him at 42-1. Been a fan of this horse from the beginning. I know Chad liked this, and you'll hear this later, but this horse, there was always high hopes for this horse. And the blinkers going on back on December 13th, it's funny. This game is all about coincidences. I called his maiden win at Aqueduct on December 13th, and I had trouble with the K's. For some reason, the K's were tripping me up that day. And I was like, oh, I hope this horse makes it up to me one day. And here we are, 5-2 morning line favorite in the Wood Memorial. Yeah, he's done everything right with the 9 furlongs, which he's really bred to run these longer distances. He's, and it really appears the way he finished up his maiden win and the race in the Withers, that when they came off the turn in the Withers, he really exploded. You would think there's a big engine under the hood. He puts himself in the right spot now with the blinkers. I think without the blinkers, he left himself with a little too much to do. And the last two starts with the blinkers, he hasn't been too far from a really slow pace. He hasn't been too far from an honest pace. So he's just doing everything right. He gets a Ryder Tease Jr. back in the saddle after Jose Lascano and Eric Ancel did well with him this winter. But, you know, when you can get a Rad, and a Rad rode this horse the first two times in the sprint on the turf, I don't know if it's so much him and the rest. I don't even think he'll be favored when the bell goes off at 5:58, but I think he's the horse to beat.
Really? Who do you think will be favored?
I think it'll be Prevalence. That bandwagon's as big as it gets. We covered Prevalence winning that allowance optional claimer on race day. And I did not particularly like what I saw. And I know he was a short price in some of those future pools. Out in Vegas in the real winter book after the maiden win, you couldn't find 20-1 on him anymore. And I was very impressed with his maiden win. To me, his maiden win was probably one of the 8 or 10 best debut performances I had ever seen. I'm always impressed when a horse wins going 7 furlongs first time out. You know, and he was breaking sticks in there. And there were a bunch of tips in that race. The tips ran 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. So the horses that were supposed to run ran. They just didn't run anywhere near as well as Prevalence did. That race last time was not a good effort. I know he missed some time. He missed the Fountain of Youth. The Gotham was 5 days earlier. I can't imagine they couldn't have made the Gotham. Instead, they went to this, very soft race. He caught just 5 rivals. The horse he beat was in for the $50,000 optional tag, and he was flying at the end. Now he's got a ship, he's got to run in a new place, and he's got to do it in just 23 days, having already missed some time. I think that's a lot to ask this horse. I don't know if I would have made the move to run in the Wood Memorial. I think the connections, including his trainer Brendan Walsh, probably felt like this was the path of least resistance. You go out to California. At the time this decision was made, Life is Good was still in play, but you still have to deal with 2 other Baffert horses, some of the other horses out in California. If you go to Kentucky, Essential Quality is waiting for you. So I think this was the path of least resistance. With that said, I think this is a lot to ask this horse, but I do believe he'll be the favorite.
If he overcomes all of those things and he wins the Wood Memorial today, are we then talking about Prevalence being maybe not the horse to beat in Louisville, but certainly among the top couple of favorites?
Yeah. Oh, if he wins today, for sure. The tote board in the Kentucky Derby, I'm not sure how much it can change at this point. Let's see what happens today. With I know there's 5 big preps left. Well, really 4 big preps in Lexington next week. I know Brad Cox had talked about trying to, get the taste, the bad taste out of Amanda Loon's mouth in that race, but it looks like he's just going to go straight to the Derby now. So there's really four big races left with points on the line. Bobby and I were talking about this yesterday. I don't know how much this can change. Prevalence winning would probably be the biggest change. I think it's expected of Essential Quality or Highly Motivated to win the race at Keeneland, to win the Bluegrass. It's very, the way that race sets up, it's very hard to make any of the other contenders on a trip. And Southern California, yeah, I mean, Medina Spirit's the favorite. I've never been a Medina Spirit guy. But with that said, I would imagine if Essential Quality wins today, he'll be the favorite. Or if Concert Tour wins the Arkansas Derby, the Baffert money will kick in and he'll be the favorite. But yeah, if Prevalence wins the Wood Memorial today, I can't imagine he's worse than third or fourth choice.
Talking with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, here on the Equine Forum on HRRN, taking a look at the Wood Memorial up at Aqueduct today. Big A, I want to ask you about a couple of more contenders in that race. But before I do, you brought up the name Mandaloon for Brad Cox, who threw in an absolute clunker. Looked like he was ready to run a big race coming to the top of the stretch and just didn't have any punch at all in the Louisiana Derby. You threw a statistic at me when we were talking earlier this week. And I don't know if you have it in front of you, if you have it memorized, but it was a huge stat that even I didn't realize when it comes to Mandaloon and what he could be facing in the Kentucky Derby if they get there.
No horse has run worse than fourth in their final race before the Derby and went on to win the Derby since 1956. That's almost 65 years. In context, that's about 40% of the Kentucky Derbies they've run. That's a big number. And you know what? Here's the funny thing, Mike. I still am not convinced to toss him off that race because he was going the right way before. I don't know. He ran too bad to believe. And this is the kind of year, I think, where without a standout, you don't want to let Brad Cox and Judmont with a horse that, if he runs 1-2-3 in the Louisiana Derby, is 15-1 on Kentucky Derby Day, go and pay $65, $70. It's that kind of trail this year. You know, it's really not clear what's going to happen here in New York. I hope Risk Taking wins. I'm a big fan. But, you know, it's a little more clear in Kentucky. Like I said, Highly Motivated, Essential Quality. That race, those races in California now with Life Is Good gone, they're up in the air. It's an interesting year. There's a scenario of horses winning the next four preps that the Derby favorite 6-1. If Essential Quality gets beat and Concert Tour gets beat, the Kentucky Derby favorite will be 6-1. So,
yeah, you know, it wouldn't be surprising to see a Derby favorite at 5-1, 6-1.
I don't think there's any standout regardless of what happens in the next four races.
Yeah, yeah. It's not surprising. And, you know, Essential Quality looks like he could be the one now to assert himself. And, you know, he's been, you know, the two-year-old champion. He's been the leader of this group for the past several months coming out of that Breeders' Cup Juvenile victory. If he wins big later today, then he will be at the head of the class, and he will take a lot of the money that comes in on Derby Day. But, again, he has to step up and take care of business later today before he moves on to the big dance, so to speak. Two more horses I want to ask you about in the Wood Memorial, Big A. We're not going to have time to get to all of the other graded stakes, but I'll let you throw out a pick or two as we get ready to wrap it up. But Weyburn, who comes out of that big win in the Gotham for Jimmy Jerkins, and Brooklyn Strong from the inside one post under Manny Franco for Danny Velasquez, who comes out of the Remsen win in December. Haven't seen him since. What can you tell me about those two horses?
Weyburn and Crowded Trade were both supposed to run in an undercard allowance race on Gotham Day. The race didn't go. They finish in nose apart in the Gotham. That's why this is the greatest game played outdoors. Both guys were looking to run an allowance race. They run 1-2 in the Gotham, beating the 4-5 favorite. Jimmy Jerkins, Weyburn's trainer, was non-committal to the Wood Memorial after this. He's even talking about how this horse would have to really dazzle him today to even think about the Kentucky Derby. Yeah, he's supposed to stretch out. He's an interesting horse. I know Jimmy's been high on him since day one. He was kind of a tip horse banging around here in New York. And then Brooklyn Strong, he's hit a couple of road bumps along the way for trainer Danny Velasquez. But he's got a 9-furlong win over the course. I don't know how much the sloppy track in the Remsen helped him, or if it was the 9 furlongs. His sire, Wicked Strong, won this race back in 2014. Race over the track, going the distance, gets Manny Franco in the boot. I think it's a tough ask because I think it's a deep field. If you're not obsessed with a horse like Risk Taking, like I am, I'm a big fan of his, 5 or 6 horses can win this race. So it's a deep race, and it's a tough spot, I think, to come back with. And when you combine the layoff since December, asking them to go to 9 furlongs is probably a little bit much.
All right, about 2 minutes left before I have to get to the next commercial break. Give me the winner of the Wynn Memorial, a live long shot that people can keep an eye on in that race, and then any other selections in any of the other greatest stakes that you'll have your eye on later today.
I'm making a good exact, a risk-taking over Crowded Trade. I think Crowded Trade reminds me a lot of Cloud Computing. I think he can be any kind of horse. I'm making a 4-2 exacta. I'm going to use Weyburn, and I'm going to use Candyman Rocket along the lines of Mandaloon. He ran too poorly to be believed in the Tampa Bay Derby last time out. Bill Mott brings him back. Junior Alvarado and Bill Mott had a great winter in Florida. They come back. I'll use him as the live long shot at 12-1. I like a horse today, Mike. It's going to be a big price in a 5-horse field in the Carter, the Grade 1 Carter. Super Stonehenge for Hall of Famer Mark Cassie, teaming up with Tyler Gaffleone. Sources run 4 times on dirt in his 12-race career. He's got some turf races and some all-weather races. He's run big in the 2 dirt races where he actually had a chance. The 1 race, 2 starts back, he had a brutal trip in the Sunshine Sprint against Florida Breds. Ran well in the Pelican behind the ill-fated Zenden last time out. I think this horse gets a good setup today sitting behind Chateau. I'm going to try and get Super Stonehenge home at a price. That's race 6, the Carter, and it starts the mandatory payout in the Empire 6. So maybe you can play around with him at a big price. He'll probably be 10-1 on a 5-horse field.
All right, Big A, good luck today. Appreciate the visit this morning. Again, that interview, that conversation from yesterday with Chad Brown talking about all of his contenders later today, that comes up at 10:40 Eastern, so make sure you're locked in for that interview. Appreciate it, brother. Good luck today.
You got it, Baron. Happy Easter, and good luck to everybody out there. Fantastic day of racing. Go listen to the Weekend Stakes preview presented by Naira Betts when the Baron's done. Bobby Newman and I had 14 races last night.
Good stuff. That's at horseracingradio.net. In deference to a very, very busy program loaded with special guests, we are going to bypass your Lexus Legends of the Turf story, but we'll have a word for the Lexus of Lexington and the outstanding folks out there at Lexus of Lexington. And we'll take a short commercial break. When I come back, you will hear from one of the owners of the current Derby points leader. You won't want to miss it. That's next right here on the Equine Forum.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit Lexus of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at Lexus of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes every fall. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
This son of Danzig ranks among the world's elite sires, with Grade 1 winners on dirt and turf and star performers both at home and abroad. Warfront's success as an international super sire is unmatched. Recent stars include War of Will, a classic winner on dirt and a Grade 1 winner on turf, Halliday, and Civil Union. In the auction ring, his progeny continued to command top dollar. Warfront, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Fans, join us online or, if possible, in person this Saturday, Run Happy Santa Anita Derby Day. Please be advised there will be no walk-up admission to either the grandstand or infield. All attendees must get their reserved seats in advance at santaanita.com/open. Join us early on Saturday, as first post time for a 12-race card is at 12 noon. In addition to the Grade 1 $750,000 Santa Anita Derby, we'll have the Grade 2 $400,000 Santa Anita Oaks and four other stakes. Additionally, there is the possibility of a $5 million pool in the 20-cent Rainbow Pick 6, as there will be a mandatory payout on Saturday. And don't forget, if you can't be here, you can still watch every Santa Anita race free of charge at santaanita.com/live. And be sure to join Tom Quigley and track announcer Frank Miramati for an in-depth handicapping seminar Saturday beginning at 10:50 a.m. at santaanita.com/live.
Oscar Performance, the pinnacle of success as a precocious juvenile and again at three.
Oscar Performance, bravo! He wins the juvenile turf.
Oscar Performance has won the Secretary of State's.
Oscar Performance goes all the way in the Belmont Derby Invitational.
And the pinnacle of success at four, equaling the world record for a mile in the Grade 3 poker and dominating the competition in the Grade 1 Woodbine Mile.
But it's Oscar Performance shrugs them off. A gate-to-wire winner.
Oscar Performance, standing at Millridge.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Midnight Bourbon takes a bun at Hot Rod Charlie as they come to the top of the fairground stretch. Bandaloon, Proxy looking to unwind on the far outside. Then to the inside, Right Then Just as they come for home. Star in My Dreams from Obeso Sand Run Classic. They come down toward this final furlong. It's Hot Rod Charlie and Midnight Bourbon needs to lift. Hot Rod Charlie finding for Joel Rosario. They come past the 16th. Hot Rod Charlie just holds Midnight Bourbon and rattling home is Obesos. It's Hot Rod Charlie to win the TwinSpires.com Louisiana Derby. Second photo, Midnight Bourbon and Obesos close. Proxy finished fourth. Star My Dreams, Mandaloon flattened today. Right Then Just and Run Classic.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, with you on this Saturday morning. That was John Dooley with the call of Hot Rod Charlie dominating the Louisiana Derby, catapulting himself to the top of the Derby point standings. He sits at number one right now, proving, too, that 94-1 runner-up effort in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile behind Champion Essential Quality was no fluke. He's for real, and coming up in a minute, you're going to hear from his owner, Greg Helm of Roadrunner Racing. That comes your way right after we help you pick a winner as we take a look at today's first bet brought to you by First Bet.
And now, today's first bet.
Today's first bet comes in race 7 at Santa Anita, a mile and an eighth turf allowance, 6:32 Eastern is the post. Number 4, Motown Music, 4-1 on the morning line, has a 26% first bet win projection, rates 10 points higher than the next closest rival. Of the top 6 first bet handicapping factors for this race, he tops the field in 4 and is second in the other 2. Race 7 kicks off the Rainbow 6 with a mandatory payout and $5 million expected in the pool, which, by the way, you can get a free $10 bet with the First Bet app. Motown Music is 3-for-6 lifetime. This will be the first turf attempt of his career, but BetMix stats show sire Quality Roads Offspring have a $1.22 ROI for every $1 bet on the Santa Anita turf. Number 4, Motown Music in race 7 at Santa Anita is today's first bet. And I'll be back in 60 seconds.
Have you heard about the new handicapping and betting app that is sweeping the nation? It's called First Bet, and it puts the power of AI-assisted handicapping, seamless wagering, and live HD video in the palm of your hand. Thousands of bettors have already made First Bet their way to handicap, bet, and watch more than 300 of the world's top tracks. Isn't it time for you to join them? And when you give First Bet a try today, you can cash in on a huge welcome bonus. Sign up with promo code SPORTOFKINGS, all one word, and you will get $10 just for joining, as well as a 10% rebate, up to $500 for your first first 30 days. With that much free cash on the line, what do you have to lose? Get started at first.com/bet. That's ST.com/bet. And don't forget promo code Sport of Kings when you sign up. And if you already have an ExpressBet account, you're way ahead of the game. Simply log into FirstBet using your username and password, and you're off to the races. Up to 18 years or older and 21 years older in certain states to open an account with FirstBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Well, Hot Rod Charlie currently sits atop the Kentucky Derby leaderboard thanks to a brilliant two-length victory in the Louisiana Derby. You just heard that call just a couple moments ago. That was on March 20th. That win, by the way, was accomplished in track record time and sent a very clear message that Hot Rod Charlie is not to be taken lightly when the gates open beneath the Twin Spires on the first Saturday in May. But there is much, much more to the Hot Rod Charlie story than simply a big win in the Bayou. And who better than owner Greg Helm of Roadrunner Racing to tell that story here this morning. Greg, welcome to the show, and congratulations, my friend. What a win.
Thank you very much, Mike. I can't tell you how excited we all are. That was quite a trip down to New Orleans.
Well, you should be excited. When you think back on that performance, you think back to March 20th, you think back to the Louisiana Derby win, what are some of the things that immediately come to mind for you?
I think the most apparent thing that I remember is the chaos of the ownership group leaping and hurtling into the air as Charlie's coming down the stretch. We're blessed by having a couple of partners. One is Bill Strauss, who's a veteran horse owner, and the other is a young group of college fraternity brothers who are probably 29 or 30 years old now. And the energy they show as Hot Rod Charlie was finishing his run was, you'd think they had just won the National Football Championship. So they generated a lot of enthusiasm among the Roadrunner Racing owners as well.
How did this whole ownership group get put together, Greg?
Dennis O'Neill, as you may know, Doug O'Neill's brother, Bloodstock agent, and he's been buying some horses for Roadrunner Racing lately, mostly two-year-olds in training in the March and April sales. And he gave me a call in October of a year and a half ago with an idea that we might invest in a yearling, something we'd never done before. And I told him that we might be a little bit hesitant to be jumping into that market because we were relatively inexperienced. That my group was. And then he told me it was a half-brother to Matoli, and I quickly said, we'll buy it. And I can't tell you how pleased we are. We jumped in for 50%. And Dennis, who's very good at putting partners together, teamed us up with Boat Racing, LLC, as well as Bill Strauss. It's just been a great partnership.
Yeah, you know, I had the privilege of being around Doug and Dennis through the other Kentucky Derby runs that they had with I'll Have Another and with Nyquist. And the team atmosphere that they create, in my opinion, is second to none. Do you agree?
I absolutely agree. I was fortunate enough to be at the Derby for I'll Have Another with Doug. And we had a horse in an undercard the day before that Doug was training for us. So I was also blessed by witnessing the way he handles his team, and he calls it Team O'Neill, is just sensational. It's one of the things that we really appreciate about him as a owner-trainer relationship.
When Doug sent me your contact number to put this interview together, he sent me the card that he had in his iPhone, and it says Greg, and in parentheses, Glenna Helm, and underneath that it has great friends. Where did that relationship start?
It's interesting. I grew up in my business grew up in the advertising agency business, and I took on a client, Hollywood Park Racetrack, back in the 90s, and was forced to learn about horse racing and became an eternal fan of horse racing. And then in 2007, I was talked into joining a syndicate called Great Friends, which was trained, all the horses were trained by Doug. So my wife, Glenn, and I got to know Doug through Great Friends Stable starting in 2007. And it wasn't until about 2014 that we started investing in horses ourselves. We formed Roadrunner Racing with a group of my golfing buddies here at La Quinta Country Club to buy some horses out of the two-year-old sales rather than claimers. And we stuck with Doug the whole way because of his the way he's so loyal to his team. And it was just a great experience with great friends, and it's been a great experience with Roadrunner Racing.
Yeah, even the folks at La Quinta Country Club have gotten on board with the Hot Rod Charlie story. If I understand correctly, there's an item on the menu that has been added in his honor. Is that right?
Yes, there is. We were unable to make it back to Lexington for the Breeders' Cup, where Charlie almost pulled off an amazing miracle. And so we all had lunch on the terrace at the La Quinta Country Club, and the chef prepared a special menu, and the whole menu was named Hot Rod Charlie, and a couple of items on the menu were the hot rod, which was a spicy, crispy chicken sandwich, and he also had a Charlie, which was a ground chuck sandwich. And as a result of that day, they now have the Hot Rod Charlie sandwich on the La Quinta Country Club menu.
I'm so glad you brought up the Breeders' Cup Juvenile at Keeneland, too, because he ran such a big race that day. He was overlooked by everybody at 94-1, ends up second behind eventual champion Essential Quality, who right now looks as if he could be the favorite for the Kentucky Derby. How much do you want to get a rematch with him, considering the way that Hot Rod Charlie has evolved and progressed?
You know, Mike, Hot Rod Charlie has gotten stronger after every race. You know, as I'm sure you're aware, it took four races for him to break his maiden. But every race, he matured. He got stronger. He got smarter. He got he put on some more weight. And we really had some high hopes for him and solid confidence going into that Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And to see him out in front coming down the stretch, if it weren't for the strong finish by Essential Quality, I think we would have pulled off, like I said, the miracle of the year. As it is, it certainly rewarded a lot of the Kentucky Country Club folks.
No doubt about it. How much time, Greg, have you spent thinking about what the moment could be like if indeed he were to find a way to win the Kentucky Derby?
It's difficult to sleep these days because I wake up and I go to bed every night thinking about the what ifs that could occur with this horse, Hot Rod Charlie, winning the Kentucky Derby and where we go from there. And the whole country club here, and as well as all of my partners, we talk every day among ourselves about one aspect or another of being there, of watching it, of imagining ourselves in the winner's circle with this blessed horse we have.
Well, you have to go back 25 years to find the last Louisiana Derby winner to also win the Kentucky Derby. That was, of course, Grindstone for Dwayne Lucas. What gives you the confidence, Greg, that Hot Rod Charlie can be the next one?
I think there's two things, really. The most important is Doug O'Neill. He knows what he's doing. He's been there. He's done that. And he keeps us informed of practically every day the progress that Hot Rod Charlie is making in training and getting smarter. So I think that's a lot to do with it. The other is, I think Roadrunner Racing, we're blessed in being a very lucky group. So I'm hoping that luck will play out. Well, you know, Mike, if I could digress a minute, you mentioned the other horse that made it from Louisiana to Kentucky, a Winner's Circle. We have a partner among Roadrunner Racing who was doing a little pedigree search of his family. And he learned, unbeknownst to him, that his great-great-aunt was a woman named Rosa Hoots, who owned Black Gold. And Black Gold was the first horse to win the Louisiana Derby and the Kentucky Derby back in 1924.
Wow, what a great story. Great tie-in, too, Greg. You know, you have to, in some respects, think maybe some of the stars are aligning in the right way, but you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself, right?
No. Every day I remind myself to calm down and just be happy that you're going to be having your horse run in the Kentucky Derby. That alone is an honor beyond belief. But it's pretty hard not to be dreaming of seeing ourselves just as excited as we were in New Orleans, replicated in Louisville on May 1st.
Well, Greg, let's hope it happens. I know you're going to have so many people cheering for you. It's been an amazing ride already, and let's hope it continues even beyond the Kentucky Derby. But really appreciate the visit here this morning. It's so great to hear your story, and congratulations on all that success, my friend. Good luck as you make your way down the road to Louisville.
Oh, thank you very much, Mike. I really appreciate you giving me the time, and I hope you'll be rooting for us like everybody else.
Yeah, it's been a delight. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Well, there's another chapter to that story, too. And by the way, you hear from Greg Helm, and you just can't help but cheer for the connections and for Hot Rod Charlie. It's a great story. Our good friends Bob and Sean Feld actually pinhooked that horse at the sales, sold that horse to Dennis O'Neill, who again made that phone call to Greg Helm in October of 2019, and here we are now. And I talked to Sean yesterday, and he told me that when this horse was a youngster, they knew right away. They didn't know he was going to be this kind of horse, but they just knew there was something about him. He was a big, strapping, strong horse, and here he is now putting it all together, and you heard the tie to Mattoli, the half to Mattoli, and all of those types of things that are working in his favor now. Let's just hope that things continue. And Greg said he's on pins and needles. He will be for the next 28 days until we get to that Derby starting gate on the first Saturday in May. But great stuff. My thanks to Greg Helm and to all the connections of Roadrunner Racing and to Hot Rod Charlie. Best of luck over the next 28 days. I'm going to get to another break. When I come back, it's time for your Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. Mike Willman is still ahead. He kicks off hour number two. He'll talk about all of the action coming up at the Great Race Place later today. Stay with me. It's the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
There's a corner of Kentucky in Bourbon County, which some refer to as the Promised Land. There's something in the soil and water that make it something special. So special that some of the world's greatest horsemen have staked their claim in the soil just outside of Paris. Iconic names such as Claiborne, Coolmore, Stone, and Darley grace the fence lines which have housed champions for generations. The name Alapa shines as a tribute to the Gilded Age, sharing the stature and grandeur of its neighbors. Born from the wealth, passion, and imagination of Edward Sims, no expense was spared to fulfill his vision. Sims was in the same league as John Madden and Arthur B. Hancock Sr. as a commercial breeder. The torch has been passed. Welcome to Hill and Dale at Alapa.
Gainsway Stallion Caracanti is off to a strong start at stud. A leading sire amongst his crop by percentage of stakes horses, top runners by Caracanti include greatest stakes winners Kenzai Warrior.
But Kenzai Warrior is sticking his head down and getting up. Kenzai Warrior wins the Horace Hill.
Sole Volante.
On the outside, Sole Volante runs by the leader. It's Sole Volante in front and going away.
2-year-old stakes winner Spanish Love Affair.
16th to go, Spanish Love Affair almost home. Spanish Love Affair lives up to the hype and wins it 1-2.
And dual surface dynamo, Princess Grace.
16th to go. Princess Grace still in front. Pasta Plate is trying hard, but she's second to Princess Grace, streaking under the wire, the three-length winner.
A rising star with greatest stakes winners on both dirt and turf, Cara Conti, standing at Gainesway.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Hey, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile, reminding you that Race Day on HRRN, presented by Twin Spires, comes your way every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Bobby Newman joins me to bring you all of the fall and winter action from places like Aqueduct, Gulfstream, Santa Anita, Del Mar, and Churchill, as well as interviews with the biggest players in thoroughbred racing. That's Race Day on HRRN, presented by Twin Spires. Tune in on Sirius 219, XM 201, or stream it live at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, I'm Richard Migliori, and I love listening to Horse Racing Radio Network. Good night, Barbados.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They approach the quarter mile pole. Indy Lion, and now Allen gets busy with the pace setter. Just as Dream draws alongside, now to Cummins racing along second. Hot Blooded swings to the outside, now to be third. Lightest Up is toward the rail fourth. It's still wide open. Indy Lion coming up with a huge effort. Just as Dream, here's Osprey on the outside. Down to the wire, Indy Lion up on the outside. A late run by Officiating. Indy Lion is still there. Locally based Indy Lion and surging late on the outside. Officiating very, very tight. A three-horse photo to determine the winner.
Well, the winner was indeed Indy Lion, and that's more turf stakes last weekend at Tampa Bay Downs. Richard Grunder with the call. By the way, Richard Grunder announcing just yesterday, I guess it was, that after 37 years behind the microphone at Tampa Bay Downs, he will retire coming up here shortly at the end of the meet. And, boy, that voice so familiar to so many of us who have tuned in over the years to Tampa Bay Downs. And want to wish Richard all the best in his retirement and his future endeavors. He'll still be involved with racing. He's a jockey's agent at Canterbury Park in Minnesota, and he'll stay involved in that respect. And looking forward to hearing more from Richard Grunder up the road and seeing him around the racetrack still. That brings us to our industry star of the week, presented by Stuart Morris, who offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation. Stuart wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his team. He knows his success is because of you. And with multiple stakes horses over the past several years that include Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, Malagasy, South Bend, and recent 2021 stakes winners Pacific Gale and Nikki the Vest, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. You can visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all of the upcoming major sales. Well, this week's industry star is the trainer of Indy Lion. That is Maria Bowersock, who recorded her very first career stakes win with that effort in the sophomore turf stakes last weekend. And she started by looking back on that win.
No. We're all really excited still. My whole crew in the barn, and you know, the horse is still on, I think, on a little bit of a high too. And it was very, very exciting, and it was a very emotional race for us because Ronnie was riding, and you know, my first stake win, and I knew the horse had potential to do it. And we were a little nervous running him back in 8 days, but he came out of the race previous that, you know, very good, and he had won, so his confidence was up, and he, you know, I couldn't have asked for a better race.
Take me back to Sunday afternoon and that moment when Indy Lion passes the finish line in front and you realize, oh my gosh, this just happened.
Well, I actually didn't think we got it at first, and my assistant Miranda, she came running down and she's like, I think we got it. I'm like, I don't think so. And then they put the camera on him galloping out, and she's like, there is your sign. You definitely won the race. And, you know, a lot of tears and screaming and carrying on, and my son was here, and you know, it was a great moment. It was really exciting. So
yeah, very, very special. It's not really fair that they make you sweat it out like that, is it?
Well, it was when they put the camera on, we knew was pretty sure that he, you know, got it. Miranda was where she was standing, she could tell that he got the head bob. So at where I was standing, I couldn't tell. So it was definitely an emotional moment, that's for sure.
Yeah, where did you watch the race?
I usually stand down on the apron, and she was upstairs. So she could see, she was right at the finish line, so she could actually see first. And actually, Ronnie didn't even know, I didn't know this until afterwards, that he wasn't sure. And then he heard me screaming when they were coming back, and he knew that then we had won the race. So it was really, really exciting. And then the horse was just so professional, and he did everything that right. And Ronnie slowed the pace down to where, you know, we thought we had a good chance. So it was good. It was a great race.
You said that the horse is probably still on a little bit of a high. Do horses know when they do something good like that?
I think so. Yeah.
Really?
I think so. Anytime a horse, you know, wins, and in my experience, they know when they win and they don't win. And, you know, and that's his fourth win at the meet. So he's, you know, he's got to know he's doing good, and he gets treated so good. So I think he knows, you know, he knows what's going on.
Yeah. What do you do for him after a big win? Do you give him a few extra peppermints, a couple extra carrots? What's his reward?
His reward, he gets turned out, and we have paddocks here at Tampa Bay Downs, and, you know, he's gotten turned out every morning the last few mornings, and of course he got a lot of peppermints that night, and, you know, grazing him and just, you know, keeping him happy. I mean, that's the main thing.
Maria, you mentioned the fact that Ronnie Allen Jr. was in the saddle. He rides the majority of your horses. He is the ageless one, if you will. He will turn 57 years old on April 24th. He has been a top jockey in our sport for many, many years, but there's much more to that story. He's not just any other jockey for you, is he?
No. We've been engaged now. Well, we've been together for 12 years. So he's the whole reason why I came to Tampa. He was riding here before, of course, for years before I started coming down here. And now I've been coming here for 12 years. So we have a good relationship. You know, he does ride the majority of the horses, and, you know, we're a good team. We work well together. We don't take our training and jockey life home. You know, we have our separate, you know, our business is different than our home life, and I think that's why it works so well for us.
Well, it works, and it works very well for Maria Bowersock and all the connections of Indy Lion. She gets that first career stakes win this past weekend at Tampa Bay Downs. It's a fantastic story. I spent the full hour on Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton visiting with Maria this past week. And if you missed it, head back to our website, horseracingradio.net, to check it out. She was incredible. Her story and her family story is fantastic. It's all there for you, horseracingradio.net. All right, when I come back, we'll kick off hour two talking about the Santa Anita Derby and that outstanding program at the Great Race Place. I'll do that with Mike Willman, the director of publicity. That's next, right after I pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hi, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile, with this week's HRRN Racing Update. Points preps for both the Kentucky Derby and Kentucky Oaks reach a fever pitch today between 5:15 and 7:15 Eastern Time, when three races for the Derby and four for the Oaks will be run across the country. The Wood Memorial at Aqueduct, Bluegrass at Keeneland, and Santa Anita Derby at Santa Anita all offer 100 points to the winner on the road to the Derby, while the Gazelle at the Big A, the Ashland at Keeneland, the Santa Anita Oaks at the Great Race Place, and the Fantasy at Oaklawn help get the fillies to the lilies in the Oaks. While most racetracks are closed in observance of Easter, Gulfstream, Santa Anita, Golden Gate, and Hawthorne will all host thoroughbred cards on Sunday. Out at the Great Race Place, Breeders' Cup filly and mare sprint winner and Eclipse champion Gamine makes her four-year-old debut while facing just three rivals in the Grade 3 Las Flores. That's your HRRN Racing Update. Now let's send it back to host Mike Penna for Hour 2 of the Equine Forum.
Welcome back. Hour two of this three-hour Equine Forum show rolling on. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, happy to have you back with me here this morning. Busy, busy show. If you missed any portion of the first half of the program, my interview with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, talking about the Wood Memorial, or with Greg Helm of Roadrunner Racing, talking about their current Derby points leader, Hot Rod Charlie, head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can check out all of the podcasts of all of these programs that I do each and every week. They're all available for you on our website, horseracingradio.net, Horse Racing Radio Network on Apple Podcasts. Poll question today. So many of you taking time to vote, and I appreciate that. At HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. The poll question presented by OwnerView and the Thoroughbred Owner Conference. Which Kentucky Derby prep race are you most excited about today? You have the Bluegrass Stakes, the Wood Memorial, and the Santa Anita Derby. And I'm somewhat surprised at the results. The Bluegrass Stakes leads the way with 47% of you saying that you are most excited about the Bluegrass. The Wood is second with 36. Only 17% of you looking forward to the Santa Anita Derby. And that's a bit surprising when you consider the historical impact, at least in recent years, that the Santa Anita Derby has had on the Kentucky Derby. I told you, four of the last nine Kentucky Derby winners have come through the Santa Anita Derby, and nobody knows that better than Santa Anita's Director of Publicity, Mike Willman, who is with me now on this Santa Anita Derby morning up early on the West Coast. Mike, appreciate the visit, my friend.
Okay, how you doing, Mike? Happy day, and thanks for giving us a shout here on the Run Happy Santa Anita Derby. It's been an incredibly productive race, as you just noted, and you know, this race over the years has produced 19 Kentucky Derby winners and two Triple Crown champions, affirmed in 1978 and Justify in 2018. So we're very, very excited about a huge day with the public back on a limited basis.
Yeah, if you're talking about winning the Kentucky Derby, Mike, it's in recent years anyways, it has been the Florida Derby or the Santa Anita Derby. Those have been the two that have consistently produced the winner of the Run for the Roses. And Bob Baffert, as we know, is as good as it gets. He is looking for yet another Kentucky Derby, and it seems like he's loaded, and he's loaded in the Santa Anita Derby this year too.
Well, he's not quite as loaded as he was 2 weeks ago when Life is Good, who was the early Kentucky Derby favorite in some circles, kind of head in head with Essential Quality, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner. But Life is Good is on the shelf now for a couple of months. But he's very well represented. He'll have the post-time favorite in Dream Shake. But you start looking at the X's and O's of this race, and just to state the obvious, Mike, a lot of guys out here, they're getting tired of that white-haired guy. I mean, they're really getting tired of him. he's just a completely dominant force. He's got a record 9 Santa Anita Derbies already. He's going for his 10th today. He's leading the trainer standings, which is a very close race. But he's got Dream Shake. He's drawn the inside now with the scratch of Roman Centurion. But he is going to have some heat, and it's going to develop very early into that clubhouse turn. The horse to his immediate outside, Rock Your World, is 2 for 2 on grass, and I don't think there's much doubt they want to lay close with him. Parnelli is a horse who is going to go. John Sheriffs went to Edwin Maldonado. I don't remember John using Edwin in the recent past. This is a guy regarded as just a top gate rider, and he's adding blinkers. Parnelli is going to be sent. And then as you get a little further outside, I said Dream Shake Baffert. I messed that up. Dream Shake is Pete Erton. Medina Spirit
will break from
the 7 hole, but he's actually post position 6. He's going to go with Johnny V. He's got good natural speed. The horse to his immediate outside, the great one, named for Wayne Gretzky, trained by Doug O'Neill. They were very passive, I'll put it that way, in the San Felipe. Everybody else in that race, Mike, if you look at the San Felipe on March 6th, they conceded the lead to Life is Good. The reason was they knew if you tried to go with them, you were going to get nothing, and they were trying to get some Kentucky Derby qualifying points underneath. That's not the case today, and they are not going to allow Medina Spirit to just get out there and dance. And the great one, O'Neill versus Baffert, is going to put a lot of heat on him. Now you throw on the other Baffert on the outside, defunded. He comes off a six furlong maiden win. You know, I think he's probably going to be in a stalking position. But X's and O's wise, there's going to be a lot of speed in the Santa Anita Derby. And for the record, Dream Shake is trained by Pete Erton. But he's a horse who's going to show a lot more speed today, I think, in his second time long. He was a well-beaten third by Life is Good in that San Felipe. But again, they kind of took a passive approach to that. Everybody else did. And that will not be the case today with 750,000 up and 100 qualifying points for the winner.
With all of that speed that you just referenced in the Santa Anita Derby this afternoon, Mike, might it be wise to take a look at the other Baffert under Hall of Famer Mike Smith, and that's Defunded, who, as you said, comes out of the six furlong maiden sprint win, but maybe finds himself in a advantageous position turning for home?
You know, the race could fall apart. The situation is this, though, Mike. These races out here are seldom won by horses coming from way out of it. I don't think he'll be way out of it because this will be his first time long, but there's no way on earth Baffert would enter him to get distanced. He's owned by longtime clients. You know, Mike Pegram, we think of Silver Bullet Day and the Derby and Preakness winner from the late 90s, Real Quiet. And then you got Carl Watson and Paul Whiteman. These guys have done a lot of good together. And Defunded is a very talented horse. You get Big Money Mike Smith, he's definitely worth a look. Now, he's 8-1 on the original line. I think John White probably has a revised line with the scratch of Roman Centurion, who was 8 on that line. But, yeah, he's an interesting horse. And Baffert, whenever he's got two, it's so often the bigger price horse jumps up. But you put it all together. I hate to say this, but it is the truth. You hate to lose a horse of the magnitude of Life is Good. That kind of took the air out of the building for a minute and a half. But then the phone starts ringing, and you got interest from other people, and it ends up being, quite frankly, Mike, it's a better race with Life is Good out. It's a more competitive, better betting race. And I know the Medina Spirit Camp, they're saying, hey, what about us? What have we done wrong? They've done not much wrong. You know, they come off a good second in the San Felipe, and they only paid $35,000 for him. He's a horse who's he's still got some upside. He's a hard trier, and a mile and one-eighth might be about his limit, but we're going to find out today with Johnny V.
Visiting with Mike Willman, the Director of Publicity at Santa Anita. Santa Anita Derby Day, always exciting. And, Mike, not just the Santa Anita Derby, but there are so many other supporting races that are so, so good. Four greatest stakes on the program today. And then you have the mandatory payout in the 20-cent Rainbow Six and expecting to have, what, a $5 million pool in that?
I think so, easily, yeah. And the Rainbow Six today will start with the seventh race. The Run Happy Santa Anita Derby is the eighth, and we're looking at a 4:15 post time on the Derby. But the 20-cent Rainbow Six, you know, it's worth playing today. There's no question about it. It's not a jackpot situation. It's a mandatory payout, and that thing should go well north of $5 million. I'll tell you, the first stake on the day, the Providencia, is a good betting race. We've got 7 3-year-old fillies here at a mile and one-eighth on grass. Now, Going Global has really been impressive for Phil D'Amato. She's 6-5, obviously the horse to beat. But I tell you what, Neil Drysdale's, to me, got a very dangerous commodity in here in Royal Address. She's an Irish bred. If you looked at her U.S. debut, she made a good run around the far turn. She stretches out today, and I think she's dangerous with Mario Gutierrez riding back. She's 12-1 on the line. I think she'll be every inch of that. She would be my long shot in terms of graded stakes today. Number 5, Royal Address, in the 5th. That's the grade 3 Providencia. And then, speaking of distaffers, we got older fillies and mares later on in the 9th race, right after the Derby. The grade 2 Royal Heroine here at a mile on grass. And Phil D'Amato having a sensational meet. He's got the 8-5 morning line favorite, Charmaine's Mia. No question, the horse to beat. I really like her quite a bit. She's going to be extremely tough.
Well, Mike, 22 years ago, I sat in the box seats at Santa Anita, and I watched my all-time favorite filly, Excellent Meeting, win the Santa Anita Oaks for Bob Baffert. The Santa Anita Oaks has always been near and dear to my heart. I love that race. It's race six on the program today. Tell me a little bit more about that Santa Anita Oaks.
Well, I mean, Baffert looks very tough. He's got Beautiful Gift on the outside with Velasquez. And I was surprised. I wrote the advances on all these stakes, and I thought Beautiful Gift in a close call would be favored here on the morning line. But John went the other way. He's got Miraz for Michael McCarthy down on the inside at 8-5, a tick lower than Beautiful Gift for Baffert. Now, Umberto Rispoli rides Miraz. She was second, beat ahead by Beautiful Gift on March 7th. And, you know, you could say, well, Miraz, she was maybe best that day. I don't think so. I thought Beautiful Gift was best, and I like the way she won, and I don't see why she can't win right back. So I'm going to take her in a tough call over Miraz here in the Santa Anita Oaks, which is the sixth race. Unfortunately, this is the short field among our graded stakes today with five of them.
Yeah, and the race preceding the start of that Rainbow Six, as Mike mentioned earlier, that Rainbow Six begins in race number seven. You have the mandatory payout today, an expected $5 million plus pool. So get ready to head to the windows or to log on to your First Bet account and start playing those races, because it's going to be spectacular. Mike, the other cool thing about this afternoon is that the infield will reopen, and it's got to be great to hear the roar of the fans back again.
It is, and, you know, we had about 3,500 on track yesterday when you count the licensed owners and everything. And man, it was great to hear them. I know the guys on the starting gate said, you know, you could hear them all the way over there in the 7-8 shoot. They're really, really into it. And, we expect a good turnout today in the infield. And anybody listening, if they're coming, make allowances for the sun. It's going to be a beautiful day, but we will have quite a bit of direct sun, so encouraging people to bring some sunscreen. They can bring their folding chairs. No walk-up admission. You know, we're still in this COVID restrictive phase, so people have to go to santaanita.com/open, Mike, and get everything arranged in advance before they come out to the track.
Well, I love the fact that Mike Willman is an early riser. You can never get him on the show too early. He's up early on the West Coast again and excited about Santa Anita Derby Day. Mike, always great to hear your voice, and your insight is always impeccable. Appreciate it, my friend.
Thanks, Mike. Sorry for the early mix-up there on the Derby. Dream Shakes, trained by Pete Erden. We'll keep that straight.
I'm sure Baffert would like to have that horse, too.
He'll take whatever he can get. Believe me.
They're tired of the white-haired guy. Mike Willman on the horse.
He's got an insatiable appetite for that winner's circle. Mike, all the best. Happy Derby Day.
You too, buddy. Mike Willman, again, Director of Publicity at Santa Anita. Always so much fun to catch up with him. When I come back, it is time for your Calling All Three-Year-Old segment. Then we'll head to Keeneland here in Lexington, and I'll visit with Gabby Gaudette, who will walk through some of the big races there, including the Bluegrass Stakes. And coming up at 9:40 Eastern Time, you won't want to miss it. It is Unsung Heroes, presented by Claiborne Farm. I will visit with longtime Bill Mott groom, Irma Scott. It's going to be fantastic. Stay with me. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince is the leading third crop sire by number of stakes winners, stakes horses, graded stakes winners, and graded stakes horses. He's also a top five general sire by the number of two-year-old winners so far in 2020. And his current crop of yearlings is his first conceived at a $25,000 stud fee. Yearlings from Cairo Prince's fourth crop sold for up to $400,000 this year, underlining his incredible commercial appeal. At $15,000 stands and nurses for 2021, Cairo Prince's value in the extreme, standing at Airdrie Stud. Think about it.
Broken Vow, a top 15 lifetime active sire with over 170 black type horses, 90 black type winners, and approaching $80 million in progeny earnings. In 2020, Broken Vow produced Saratoga Springs winner Stan the Man and the Speedy M. Primus, winner of the $700,000 turf sprint. Juvenile stakes horses include the Grass is Blue and Chasing Kara. Give your mare a great start with a proven sire. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Oscar Performance, the pinnacle of success as a precocious juvenile, and again at three.
Oscar Performance, bravo! He wins the juvenile turf.
Oscar Performance has won the Secretary of State's.
Oscar Performance goes all the way in the Belmont Derby Invitational.
And the pinnacle of success at four, equaling the world record for a mile in the grade three poker and dominating the competition in the grade one Woodbine Mile.
But it's Oscar Performance shrugs them off. A gate to wire winner.
Oscar Performance, standing at Millridge.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They turned into the short stretch, and Hot Rod Charlie keeps moving up on the outside. Hot Rod Charlie moves up to challenge Jackie's Warrior as the field moves off the turn. Essential Quality is still third and still moving at the leaders from the outside. Final furlong of the juvenile. Essential Quality coming forward for the lead. Late run from Keep Me In Mind. Hot Rod Charlie to the inside. Essential Quality and Luis Saez have won the TVG Breeders' Cup Juvenile. 1:42.09.
That's Kurt Becker with the call. That's the last time we saw Essential Quality here in the Bluegrass. It was November 6th of last year. And that big win in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, holding off 94-1 long shot Hot Rod Charlie. He is not such a long shot anymore as Hot Rod Charlie. He's the top of the point standings now for the Kentucky Derby. Essential Quality, no slouch in his own right. He is a perfect 4-for-4 for owners Godolphin, trainer Brad Cox, and the son of Gainesway stallion Tappet. Looks to be every bit the Kentucky Derby favorite at this point. 3-5 on the morning line in this year's Bluegrass Stakes. I'm going to be joined by Gabby Gaudette from Keeneland in just a couple minutes to talk about Essential Quality and all the contenders in that race. But first, it is time for your Calling All Three-Year-Old segment, presented by Spendthrift.
They're all in line. And they're off.
Spendthrift Farm presents Calling All Three-Year-Olds with Bobby Newman.
There were four stakes on the road to the Kentucky Derby last weekend, two local and two international. At Gulfstream Park, Todd Pletcher's Known Agenda closed from mid-pack to win the Florida Derby by almost three lengths over pace setter Soup and Sandwich, with heavily favored Greatest Honor closing late to be third. All three are headed to Churchill Downs for the Kentucky Derby on May 1st. At Turfway Park, Wesley Ward's Like the King rallied from far back to take the Jeff Ruby Stakes, while Sainthood overcame a troubled trip to finish second. They earned 140 Derby qualifying points, respectively. Internationally, Godolphin's Rebel's Romance defeated Panadol in the UAE Derby at Maidan, while God Selection won the Fukuru Stakes in Tokyo. The Bluegrass, Santa Anita Derby, and Wood Memorial all take place today, and each offers 170 Derby points to be split among the top four finishers. Undefeated two-year-old champ Essential Quality headlines the stacked Bluegrass field at Keeneland, with stakes winners Highly Motivated, Ron Bauer, Sittin' on Go, Keep Me In Mind, and Hush of a Storm all looking to knock him off his pedestal. Undefeated Prevalence gets his first crack at stakes competition in the Wood Memorial at Aqueduct. He takes on stakes winners Risk Taking, Brooklyn Strong, Wayburn, and Candyman Rocket, as well as up-and-comers Crowded Trade and Market Maven in the Grade 2 test. And the Santa Anita Derby field drew a big field of 10, led by the Baffert duo of Bedina Spirit and Defunded. Other contenders include Roman Centurion, Dream Shape, Rock Your World, Law Professor, and The Great One. I'll be back with this week's top five list right after this word from Spendthrift.
Gormley. He won California's best races at 2 and 3. As a juvenile, Gormley captured the Grade 1 frontrunner stakes at Santa Anita in his second start.
Gormley wins the frontrunner.
He went on to prove best in the $1 million Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby as a 3-year-old.
And Gormley wins the Santa Anita Derby.
Gormley's first 2-year-olds have already included colts up to $550,000 and fillies up to $250,000 at OBS. Gormley participating this year in the Safe Bet program, only at Spendthrift.
This week's top five list of Derby contenders looks like this. Number one is Essential Quality. Undefeated, the two-year-old champ. He'll be heavily favored in the Bluegrass today at Keeneland. Number two, Concert Tour. Also undefeated. Impressive winner of the Rebel in his last start. He runs next Saturday in the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby. Numbers three and four, Risk-Taking and Prevalence. They'll run against each other in the Wood Memorial at Aqueduct today. And number five, Known Agenda. Impressive winner of the Florida Derby. Next stop for him is Churchill Downs. That's your Calling All Three-Year-Old segment presented by Spendthrift, the Breeders Farm.
All right, a lot still to be determined between now and the first Saturday in May, including those three Derby points races this afternoon. You have the Arkansas Derby next weekend, but Keeneland playing host to a stellar card, including the Bluegrass Stakes. We'll see the current Derby favorite, Essential Quality, in action, and he's going to be a heavy favorite in the Bluegrass today, too. And to help us figure it all out is Gabby Gaudette, Keeneland analyst. She's with me now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Gabby, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Mike. It's been a while. I'm always happy to join you on this show. And, yeah, we have an excellent day on tap at Keeneland.
Yeah, always great to hear your voice. Let's start with the Bluegrass, and then I'll ask you about some of the other graded stakes, too. But Essential Quality, 3-5 on the morning line. It certainly appears to be Essential Quality and everybody else, but this is horse racing, and you just never know.
That's very true. Yeah, there's nothing you can really say, you know, negatively about Essential Quality. Everything has really gone to plan, and when you're in the position of Brad Cox and you have the juvenile champion, you know that you have a top tier, you're going to have a top tier three-year-old. So you think about the Derby and you work backwards. And Brad Cox, I mean, this horse was training at the fairgrounds over the winter, but he was meticulous in his decision-making in that he wanted to run this horse at Oaklawn, and then he wanted to run him in the Bluegrass and just have two prep races to get him ready for the Kentucky Derby. So everything has gone to plan. And what I've liked about his campaign this year, too, is that he's really done it all. He can stalk. He can be forwardly placed. He can be behind horses. He can run well on a wet track. He can run well on a big field, a small field. He can ship across the country and still be successful. So they've really done a lot with this horse, and he's excelled at it. So there's really not, like I said, not a lot of negative things that you can say about the favorite. It's just whether or not if another horse is going to take another step forward. And when I look at the Bluegrass, there's one horse that really pops off the page at me, and that's Highly Motivated for Chad Brown, because he's done this successfully before in the past with his three-year-old. I was, a couple days ago, Mike, I was just trying to figure out some stats and just different angles for the Bluegrass when I was studying for the race, and I found a crazy statistic for Chad Brown with his three-year-old going a route of ground on the dirt, second off the layoff. He's about 37%, and I thought was out of a big sample size, so I wanted to take it one step further. And I noticed that he did the same thing with Practical Joke and Good Magic. Give them one race off the layoff. They, since the Breeders' Cup, they don't necessarily need to win. And then point for the Bluegrass. Now, those first races off the layoff were with Practical Joke and Good Magic, were in the Fountain of Youth, not necessarily the race that he comes out of at Aqueduct. But it's just something that's worked well for him and his three-year-olds in his operation in the past. And I think this horse is really going to run a big race because we know he loves Keeneland. He broke the track record in the Nyquist on Breeders' Cup weekend. So when I'm looking at the race and I'm thinking, okay, who could potentially be Essential Quality, I think it's Highly Motivated because he does look like he could take a huge step forward today. And also, I wouldn't be surprised if he's, you know, it doesn't seem like a fast pace at all. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's literally just Highly Motivated and Essential Quality on the front end, and we'll see who outlasts one another.
Yeah, and both of those horses obviously like the Keeneland surface. They both have wins over the surface. keep me in mind, who is going to break from the outside in the Bluegrass, is a horse that I have always thought was somewhat interesting in the Derby picture, but the task that he faces today is trying to turn the tables on Essential Quality, first of all, who beat him twice at Keeneland as a juvenile, and now he has to prove that he can find a way to get by him as a three-year-old when Essential Quality may be even better. Do you see any scenario where Keep Me In Mind can somehow pull off a bit of an upset in here?
Well, we all know, it's well documented, that the weather at Oaklawn wasn't ideal. And I'm just wondering, you know, if maybe things didn't really go to plan as they had hoped for with Keep Me In Mind. And plus, in the Rebel concert tour, I mean, he just ran every single horse off their feet, as Bob Baffert horses normally do. So although his last race is kind of an eyesore, I think you can give him the benefit of the doubt. Now, it's a question of whether or not he's going to improve in his three-year-old season. We know that Essential Quality is as good, if not better, as a three-year-old he was at two. And that's really the biggest question for Keep Me In Mind. Can he continue stepping forward? You know, I wasn't a big fan of his last race, but things could dramatically turn around in his second start off of the layoff. I will say, too, yesterday, we had a lot of two-year-old races earlier in the card. We had some sprint races earlier in the card. And at one point, I know some people were thinking that it would be a speedy track, but baby races are one on the front end. And I actually thought it was an extremely fair track yesterday. And I'm hoping and I'm thinking it's going to be the same case this afternoon. And, you know, I think some people thought that the track was really fast, Breeders' Cup weekend. So maybe that's, and just generally speaking, I thought last year at Keeneland, some days it was really hard to make up ground, whether it be in the summer meet, the fall meet, Breeders' Cup. So maybe that's the way that this horse can turn the tables. But personally, fair track or not, I just don't think it's going to be a fast pace. So he's going to have to be good enough to run down horses like Highly Motivated and Essential Quality.
If somebody were to jump up and pull off a shocker in the Bluegrass today, who is the most likely upsetter, in your opinion, to knock off Essential Quality and Highly Motivated?
I think, can I give you two? Because
sure.
I've been going back and forth between two horses and as maybe that third other horse, because I do like Highly Motivated. I picked him on top. But Untreated is just a really interesting horse to me. I know Chad, when he had him in his first start, I think they liked him a little bit. Yeah, you went off at 80 cents to the dollar that day. You don't see a first-time starter bet like that out of any barn if you don't like them. He didn't really run well that day, but he was sold out of the Keeneland sale as one of the Paul Pompa dispersal horses, and Todd Pletcher got him in the New Connections and Team Valor, and his last race was really good, and we've seen this. Todd, with his three-year-olds, especially as of late, it's like he trains them so that the light bulb turns on right before the Derby. We saw it with Known Agenda and in the Florida Derby, too. And I'm just wondering if this could be another one that we might see run a big race today. And then the other horse would be Hidden Stash. I can remember watching him. I was at Tampa for both of his races. And just thinking, like, this horse is having such a hard time winning at a mile and a 16th on the dirt at Tampa. It's a speed-favoring track. He's just kind of spinning his wheels for the majority of the race. And then he has this late punch. And that's why he's run so well, just because of his natural ability. And I think when he comes to Keeneland, I've always thought he needs longer distances than a mile and a 16th. So he doesn't look like he'll be too far off of the pace. So he could get the right type of trip, and I do think he's a really good horse, an improving horse. So he would kind of be the other interesting contender for me.
Visiting with Keeneland analyst Gabby Gaudette here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Again, the Bluegrass Stakes coming up as race 11 later today at Keeneland, 6:35 Eastern, 3:35 for those of you tuned in out on the West Coast. All right, Gabby, outside of the Bluegrass, and we don't necessarily have enough time to go through every single graded stakes race on the program. There are six of those today. It is loaded. It is loaded at Keeneland. Which other races and which other horses will you have your eye on later today?
Well, you obviously have to be paying attention to the Oaks race, the Grade 1 Central Bank Ashland. It's a small field. It's only a field of six fillies, but we do get the return of Simply Ravishing, who I'm excited to see back. I mean, I thought she was really exciting last year, and unfortunately she, you know, had a bad trip in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. She was a horse that when you're handicapping the race prior to, you thought she would be on the lead, as she had been, you know, pretty much in every start in her career. And she stumbled out of the gate. She lost her position from the rail going into the first turn, and it's not ideal on, you know, a championship type of day. And then her last race and the Golden Rod, I mean, she went against some top three-year-old fillies then. I mean, they were two at the time, but we've seen what Travel Column and Clairiere have gone on to do. So I actually think the Golden Rod was a very strong race. And she, I think, will probably be on the lead, I hope. Zayas is on her, so I think that's what's going to happen. And then Malathot is a very interesting filly, too, for Todd Pletcher. He wanted to run her in the Gulfstream Park Oaks, but they were observing a 10-day moratorium for Sheikh Hamdan, and so he couldn't run her. He couldn't enter her in that race. So they kind of had a reroute to run her in the Ashland, but she's undefeated. She's a really exciting filly, too. And then I guess the other horse that everybody wants to watch and everybody wants to have an opinion on is Hidden Scroll on the undercard. So I think a lot of people will be watching him as well.
Yeah, Hidden Scroll getting an awful lot of attention, both on social media and in the press. Here's a horse, 5-2 on the morning line in that race, which, by the way, the Commonwealth is race number 7. It goes at 4:24 Eastern. He's not the favorite in there. Flagstaff breaks from the inside, and he's probably going to take most of the money. But Hidden Scroll getting a lot of attention. How come?
I think because it dates back to his first race, right, when Bill Mott, he unleashed this horse on the undercard of Pegasus World Cup Day, and he got a 104 buyer speed figure, and everyone thought that he was the next, you know, Secretariat. And unfortunately, that didn't materialize, and there was just so many expectations put on this horse because of his first race. And he's a quirky horse. I know, you know, the Bill just tried to figure him out, and he's just not an easy horse. He's never been a good gate horse. He's got a mind of his own. He's got a lot of talent, but it's just, I think, hard to tap into that talent because of his personality. And he was, again, sold through the Keeneland sale, and Brad Cox got him for Mark DeTemple. And his last race was fine. I think he's a horse that likes a sloppy track, so I thought he might have run a little bit better. I know Brad could have maybe run him at Aqueduct today and get a Grade 1, but he's deciding to run him in a Grade 3 today. So maybe they're just taking a slow and steady approach with him. But, yeah, I think that's the reason why, is because his personality is well-documented, and that first race was so good that everybody thought he was going to be, you know, the next superstar.
Well, it's going to be a beautiful day in the Bluegrass. Temperature is going to be hovering right around 60 degrees, plenty of sunshine. Fast main track should be a firm turf course, Gabby, I would imagine.
It was good all day yesterday. I would imagine it's probably good to firm. I can't be 100% confident, but we did not get any rain. My only concern is that it was really cold overnight, like frost, freezing type of temperatures. So it still could have retained some of that moisture, but it should be drying out throughout the afternoon. We're going to get into the 60s, and it'll be a lot warmer today than it was yesterday, because yesterday was cold.
Yeah, it was cold, and Keeneland's always about 10 degrees colder than any other place on the planet, so keep that in mind. There might be 60 today, but it's going to feel more like the low 50s out at Keeneland, no doubt about it. Gabby, appreciate the visit. As always, your insight much appreciated, and enjoy the day at Keeneland.
Mike, thank you so much. Take care.
All right, Gabby Gaudette here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. When I come back, it is time for this week's edition of Unsung Heroes. This is going to be a really, really fun segment this week. It is every week, but I get a chance to talk with so many of the people in our sport that make this sport a success and never find themselves in the headlines. Well, Irma Scott has been the groom for Hall of Famer Bill Mott since the mid-'80s. Yeah, think about that. And she's with me next. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Adina Springs bred and raced the best son of Hall of Famer Ghost Sapper, champion, multiple Grade 1 winner, and fellow Hall of Famer Shaman Ghost, who became the first horse in 3 decades to reel off this historic Grade 1 double.
And it's going to be won by Shaman Ghost! He has won the Woodward!
It's Shaman Ghost, an overwhelming force in the last 16th of a mile. Shaman Ghost has beaten Midnight Storm.
Seeing is believing with Shaman Ghost. Learn more at AdinaStallions.com.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Heroes in the world of sports are not uncommon. Oftentimes, thrusting themselves into the limelight through unimaginable feats.
Back behind the ball, Woods puts it.
And in! He has done it! Tiger is back! Tiger is back on top! Tiger Woods, the 2019 Masters Champion!
And breathtaking performances.
Here's how you count to 8, 3, 2, 1. And for the 8th time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky!
But behind every great hero, there are others. Individuals who play a crucial role in the achievements of those we read about in the headlines. The ultimate team players. Content to stand behind the curtain, embracing their place as a vital part of a sport's success. In horse racing, these are the unsung heroes.
And this is a sport filled with unsung heroes. This has become one of my favorite segments because I have the chance to visit with and to recognize the individuals in our sport that they don't make it into the headlines. Their name isn't in the program every single day, but they are an integral part of what makes our sport a success. And I'm sure that Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott would be the first to tell you that his program cannot be successful without his longtime groom, Irma Scott, who has spent more than 35 years working with Bill Mott and being around his family and making that program what it is today. And Irma is with me now here on this Unsung Heroes segment. Irma, first of all, congratulations and welcome to the show.
Okay. How's everything?
All right. I mentioned that you started working with Bill, what, in the mid-1980s? Is that right?
Well, I think I started working for him like in 85. When I first met him, I met him in New Orleans. And I worked at a restaurant called Lyusa, and I never been around horses. And his helper used to come over there to eat. So I asked him, could they teach me how to walk horses? And that's how I started out. And then later I started following him, and then he put me in the house to help with his kids, with help Tina, his wife, and help with the kids. So I've been with him a long time.
What do you think makes that relationship work so well?
I don't know. He was so nice, and I wanted to work for somebody that was nice. I'm from Louisiana, And I wanted to work for somebody that was nice to me. So if it was nice to me, I'd stay there and work for you, you know? So that's what I did.
Have you always loved horses?
No. Well, I started loving horses when I met them because I never was around horses. So, and then when I got around the boss, then that's when I started liking horses. And I've been with them ever since. I'm 69 years old now. I was young when I first started. So I've been around some nice horses, Cigar and
You are still young.
Lee, all those different horses. So I don't know when I go. I could retire, but I'm still with them. And they have two dogs now, so I'm taking care of their two boxers. And I do some massaging at the
so
racetrack
with
the horses a little bit. Yeah. So I
you are more than just a groom, Irma. You're part of the Belmont family, aren't you?
Yep. I've been living with them for the last 35 years. Yeah, that's a long time. I'm taking care of son Riley. You know Riley?
I do.
He's a trainer to the boss, so I've been with them a long time. They have Riley, Brady, and Olivia. So,
what are some of your favorite memories, Irma, from the past 35 years or so?
Oh, Cigar is one of them because I was around Cigar. I used to walk him, and I remember when he was in Florida one year. We was in the Holy Bull, and he had to run against Holy Bull, and I was so nervous that day because I thought sure Holy Bull was going to beat us. Old Cigar looked Holy Bull in the eye, and that was it. We won that big race at the Don Handicap. So that's one of my memories, you know. Then Ronnie Greek, I love Ronnie Greek. He was a good boy. He went to Jockey Gold Cups. He went to the Blaine was in there with him. And there was some more horses that was in there, but they all had buttons stuff, except for Ron. And Ron was the one that ended up winning the race. You know, like the buttons you put on your clothes. Ron,
yeah.
They didn't make him one. But he won that race, and that was a good thing.
You told me yesterday, Irma, when I called you and asked you to come on to the segment, you told me that Ron the Greek was like your kid.
Yeah, he was. I loved him. He was a good boy. And Lee, I went to Dubai with Lee and Elake. I loved her. She was a good girl. She just had a baby by Wallfront. So I loved her too. But Ron was the best to me. Boss used to put him out there in a pen to run around, and he'd hear my voice. He'd start running and ran up and everything. So. But anyway, that's it for him.
What's the relationship like, Irma, between a groom and their horse? How do you describe that connection and that relationship? Because it's special.
With the horse? They just special.
Yeah.
And give them hugs. They got some nice horses. Give them hugs and kisses and peppermints and carrots. And they be looking for you. If I come through the shed row, they turn and look and wait. And try to get a carrot, a peppermint, or something from me. Because they're nice horses. They're sweet, you know, sweet horses. So I love them. Give them kisses and massage them. You know, they like their massages. I massage them. We have this Beamer that Bill, my wife, bought. And I put the Beamer on them. It's like a blanket. And it's circulation, and they just love it. And they're just nice.
You can tell your love for the horses, you know, it comes through when you talk. And what's a day in the life of a groom like? Take me through your typical morning.
Grooms have to get up. They get up early in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. They come in and they clean their stalls, and then they get their clean the horses up to get them ready to go to track. They have like five sets, and it's the first set. They get them ready and they go to the horse goes to the track, and they come back, and they give him a bath, and then the high walker walks him for 30 minutes, and then and ward him off, and then that's it. They put him in a stall. They eat at 11 o'clock their lunch, and then they have then in the afternoon, like 3 o'clock, they take some of them out and walk them, and they have their supper at 5 o'clock, and then that's it. And at night, 8 o'clock at night, they might get a treat. And 3 o'clock in the morning, they get breakfast. And then it's time to get up again and do the same thing over again. That's what grooms have, you know, they have a lot to do.
What do you like most about being a groom, Irma, about your job?
My job, I love my job. I get up at, because I told you I live with Bill, I live at the house, so I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I get ready for work, and I make the coffee, and then I take the dogs out, and by 6 o'clock I'm ready to go. I go along with the boss, we get in the car and come to work. And then when I get here, I start massaging some of the horses.
Does he know that he wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame without you?
I don't think so. I don't think so. But anyway, that's about it.
Well, Irma, there are so many people like you that do great work behind the scenes and are so have such a big impact on our sport. So on behalf of the entire thoroughbred racing industry, I want to thank you for everything that you do. That people never hear about until today. So thank you for all your hard work and dedication.
Thank you. I have a girlfriend. Her name is Gilda. She's been around the racetrack a long time. If you ever want to know her number, I give it to you.
Wonderful. We'll make her an unsung hero, too.
Okay. Thank you, here.
Appreciate it, Irma. Thank you for taking the time, and thanks for being an unsung hero. Yeah, fantastic. Irma Scott, how cool is that? I mean, you listen to her walk through her entire day, and if you think trainers work hard, which they do, and you listen to Irma talk, think about how hard the people that they employ, their grooms, their exercise riders, their assistant trainers, think of how hard those people work. I tell you all the time, it takes a village, and Irma Scott being with the Mott family, part of that Mott family, for more than 35 years since the mid-80s, simply spectacular. What a great story. And my thanks to Irma. She is an unsung hero. It is a privilege for me to be able to bring you those types of stories here in this segment. And my thanks to Claiborne for making that possible. And my thanks to Irma for taking the time this morning. If you know someone that you feel should be recognized as an unsung hero in our sport, nominate them today by emailing their story directly to me, mike@horseracingradio.net. That is how I was put in touch with Irma. We had a listener email the program, tell me her story. I said, this is fantastic. I have to get a hold of her. Do the same thing. If you know somebody you feel deserves to be recognized as an unsung hero in our sport, send me their information, tell me their story, send me their number, and I'll reach out to them. We'll do my best to recognize them during these unsung hero segments in the weeks and months ahead. That's mike@horseracingradio.net. I'm back to get you ready for the third hour of the program right after this on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
The National HBPA is continuously working to protect the health and welfare of horses by advocating and funding research to help reduce equine injuries, lobbying for a national testing lab to oversee and establish absolute uniform laboratory protocols, advocating for every track to undergo an annual independent surface assessment, passionately supporting off-the-track thoroughbred retirement facilities and adoption groups, and so much more. See additional HBPA initiatives at nationalhbpa.com.
There's a corner of Kentucky in Bourbon County, which some refer to as the Promised Land. There's something in the soil and water that make it something special. So special that some of the world's greatest horsemen have staked their claim in the soil just outside of Paris. Iconic names such as Claiborne, Coolmore, Stone, and Darley grace the fence lines which have housed champions for generations. The name Alapa shines as a tribute to the Gilded Age, sharing the stature and grandeur of its neighbors. Born from the wealth, passion, and imagination of Edward Sims, no expense was spared to fulfill his vision. Sims was in the same league as John Madden and Arthur B. Hancock Sr. as a commercial breeder. The torch has been passed. Welcome to Hill and Dale at Alapa.
The COVID-19 vaccines are starting to become available across the country. And as they become available, you may be asking yourself, should I get it? Will it help get me back to doing the things I love?
like going out to my favorite restaurants, meeting with friends in person, or going on vacation and traveling again. And can I do it all without putting my family and those I love at risk? And is it safe? You've got questions. That's normal. Which is why it's so important to get informed. The medical community has made it clear. The vaccines authorized for COVID-19 have met the highest safety standards and can help protect us. Visit GetVaccineAnswers.org for all the latest information on the COVID-19 vaccines. That's GetVaccineAnswers.org. Getting back to the moments we miss starts with getting informed. It's up to you. A message brought to you by the Ad Council and the CDC.
Get in-depth handicapping advice on the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts. Every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, Anthony Stabile and Bobby Newman look forward to all of the weekend's biggest stakes races and break down each one with expert analysis. Get a jump on the competition with the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts. Fridays at 6 on Sirius 219, XM 201, or streaming at horseracingradio.com.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Well, I started telling you several weeks ago about the brand new outdoor superstore, the Whitetail Heaven Outfitters Elite Outdoor Superstore, and I spent my entire life pursuing, well, really three passions, and I tell you this every week, so it's so true. Horse racing, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the outdoors. Those are my three things. If you follow me on Twitter, you know those are the only three things I'm ever tweeting about. But when I'm not at the racetrack, if I'm not watching the Steelers or sitting in Heinz Field, it's a pretty solid bet and I'm out in the woods somewhere. So trust me when I tell you that if you love hunting or you love fishing, you need to check out Whitetail Heaven Outfitters Elite Outdoor Superstore. It's in Nicholasville, Kentucky, just 3 miles south of the Fayette Mall on Nicholasville Road. Owned by former horse trainer Tevis McCauley, by the way, the Elite Outdoor Superstore has everything you need for hunting deer, turkeys, ducks, so much more. They even have two indoor archery ranges, so if you want to try out some of the bows that they sell, if you want to bring your bow in there and shoot, you can do it at the Whitetail Heaven Outfitters Elite Outdoor Superstore in Nicholasville, Kentucky. And when you go in, you ask for Tevis McCauley, you talk some horses, and you talk some hunting, fishing, fantastic people. And the store just looks amazing. I was in there a few weeks ago. It looks great. The Whitetail Heaven Outfitters Elite Outdoor Superstore. Okay, well, if you missed any portion of this show, my interviews with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, talking about the Wood Memorial, Greg Helm, the owner of Hot Rod Charlie, Mike Willman talking about the races at Santa Anita, and Gabby Gaudette previewing the Keeneland races, and of course that last segment, Unsung Heroes with Irma Scott. All you have to do is head back to our website, horseracingradio.net, to check out the podcast of this show and all of our shows. Horseracingradio.net, Horse Racing Radio Network on Apple Podcasts. Poll question today, presented by OwnerView and the Thoroughbred Owner Conference: which Kentucky Derby prep race are you most excited about today? The Bluegrass Stakes, the Wood Memorial, or the Santa Anita Derby? Right now, 48% of you saying it's the Bluegrass Stakes, essential quality, 3-5 on the morning line in there. The Wood Memorial second with 31%, the Santa Anita Derby, 21%. Go to at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook to let me know. Well, that's going to do it for the first 2 hours of today's program, but still plenty, plenty more to come. Hour three kicks off with this week's edition of In the Room with Sean Clancy, his unique one-on-one jockey-to-jockey conversation with Fairgrounds champion rider James Graham. Kurt Becker takes a stroll through racing history, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland, and you'll hear from trainer Chad Brown as he looks ahead to all of his runners in today's stakes. That interview comes your way at 10:40 Eastern Time. If your local station is leaving us right now, you can still continue listening to the third hour of the show nationwide on Sirius 219, XM 201, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Hour three of the Equine Forum is coming up next, right after I pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Brooklyn Strong, 10 for 10. Brooklyn Strong and 10 for 10 battled it out to the finish, and it is the New York Red, Brooklyn Strong, to win Aqueduct's Remsen Stakes, narrowly over 10 for 10.
In October when he won the Sleepy Hollows, that was amazing too. And then I won my first stake race that weekend. And, you know, that was like the highlight. And I'm like, wow, life can't get any better. And then we turn around and win this weekend. That was crazy in itself. And then not only win one, win a graded stake, win a Remsen, a race with so much prestige and so much since 1904. That's crazy. You know, it's just one of those things that you dream about.
Highly motivated, just striding forward to take the lead for Javier Castellano. It is Highly Motivated who will take the opener.
He's a horse I wasn't sure about all the way along as far as how far he'll run. I mean, he identified himself as one of our very best dirt colts early on last summer, but he hasn't anything to change my mind about that. What's changed is how far I think he'll run in a good way. You know, he's still growing and looked like he had a good burst of speed to run around one turn on the dirt. So to me now, he's grown a bunch, just really matured. His mechanics have even improved. So I really don't think a mile and eighth will be any trouble for him, but we will find out.
Medina Spirit, tough as nails. Roman Centurion on the outside. Roman Centurion, Medina Spirit, and Hot Rod Charlie. What a game victory from Medina Spirit, who set the pace and turned them all away.
Welcome to the Equine Forum. Now here's Mike Pena.
Welcome back. Third hour of the program rolls on, and it's a busy one. I told you, you'll hear from jockey James Graham with Sean Clancy with our In the Room segment. You'll hear from Kurt Becker strolling through racing history, and Chad Brown coming up at 10:40 Eastern Time. What a weekend. What a weekend as we edge closer to the Run for the Roses. Now only 28 days, 8 hours, 42 minutes, and 56 seconds away from the Run for the Roses. I told you we'll be there as your exclusive radio home of the Kentucky Derby. The only place you'll hear the greatest 2 minutes in sports on radio is with us in partnership with NBC Sports Audio Network. We'll be there all week long, beginning on Tuesday morning with the first of three Derby countdown shows live from the backside of Churchill Downs. Each of those shows, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning, air from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern and are presented by our friends at Hillendale, which, by the way, now out at Alapa in Paris. And then we segue into all of our coverage on Friday with the Kentucky Oaks, and on Saturday, Derby Undercard and the Run for the Roses. You can head to our website, horseracingradio.net, to check out a complete broadcast schedule. A listing of terrestrial affiliates will be available for you on there shortly, too. And, of course, you'll be able to tune in nationwide on SiriusXM. What a day of racing. Three Derby points races, the Bluegrass, the Wood, the Santa Anita Derby. Four Kentucky Oaks points races, the final four, if you will, Ashland, Gazelle, Santa Anita Oaks, and the Fantasy. And, of course, all eyes will be on those races later today. Should be a great afternoon, and you're going to be flipping back and forth to try to catch all the races. Just tremendous. Can't wait to see who stamps themselves as a legitimate contender on the first Saturday in May. Well, again, a busy third hour of the show. Let's get right to it. Time now to go In the Room with Sean Clancy, presented by ThisIsHorseRacing.com. This week, the former champion steeplechase jockey brings you his unique one-on-one jockey-to-jockey conversation with the man they call Lucky Charm. That's jockey James Graham.
A front-running victory for jockey James Graham. Jockey James Graham.
And Stratton gets the win for James Graham.
James Graham has again. James Graham. James Graham. James Graham.
This is In the Room with Sean Clancy.
I'm Sean Clancy, and I'm in the room with jockey James Graham. The 41-year-old Irish native captured his third Fairgrounds riding title last weekend and is poised for another strong Keeneland spring meet, a winner of 2,740 races for over $92 million in earnings. Graham has won at least 100 races every year since his first full season in 2004. Welcome to the show, James.
Thank you, Sean. Glad to be on.
You've been a mainstay at the Fairgrounds throughout your career. How special is it to win a third riding title at the New Orleans track?
Look, the Fairgrounds and me is like hand in hand. You know, I really like the fairgrounds. I used to have a house down there, so it was home for a long time. But no, I really do like the fairgrounds. I think the racetrack caters to my riding abilities and style. So,
how does it cater to your style? Is something you do there that works better than other places?
Well, I guess the stretch is pretty long at the fairgrounds. Probably one of the longest stretches in the country. And you know, you don't always have to be on the best of horses, but if you have a horse that's got a little bit of extra stamina, you can keep plowing away and they'll keep going. And I figured that out very quick. But my education down there was unbelievable because we used to have training races and you educated yourself riding that way.
No, for sure. And that's got to help. And then when you go to a place like Keeneland, do you have to adjust your style for Keeneland or different tracks?
Yeah, like everywhere. Some tracks cater to speed horses, some tracks not so much, and you just have to try and find your balance in between, right?
Yeah, exactly. And what are your strengths at Keeneland? I mean, is something you do there that's...
Fast horses.
Yeah, exactly. Most important thing, right?
No, look, every day it changes day to day. Keeneland are pretty good. You don't generally have a bias, but you see it. You want to be up close, kind of. Maybe just sit off the speed a little bit and on the main track and on the grass. Look, you can ride a race from anywhere. And if you're on the best horse, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get there, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's the most important thing is finding that business. Is that something that comes easy? I mean, what's it like? I know you work hard. I mean, you're out in the morning every day, and that makes probably a big difference.
Yeah, well, it's riding. The problem with Keeneland is you got a lot of guys coming out of Florida. You got a lot of guys coming out of New Orleans. You got a lot of guys coming down from New York. Everybody, it turns into a melting pot, and a lot of the guys will ride the guys that they've been playing with all winter, like with Jose and Irad Ortiz. You got Tyler Gaffleon coming out of the fairgrounds. We have myself, Brian Hernandez, a couple of others, Miguel Mena, you know, and we'll ride for the people generally who's been riding for us. With Julian Leperu coming out of Florida, he'll ride some for the people he's been riding for, and he'll mix and match with the guys coming out of the fairgrounds. And generally, they go with the best available, and you just have to hope you're on the top five of the trainers' want list, you know?
For sure, and that's something you've been for your career. I mean, you're right up there with everybody and have built a solid career at Fairgrounds and Keeneland. If I had to describe you, I'd say affable, upbeat, works hard, rides hard. You know, you get your money's worth every ride. Is that how you would describe your riding a career?
Yeah, definitely. Funny thing is, when I first started riding, the guy I had that was hustling my book, Steve Elsie, had me at first, and kind of he just used me as a work rider for Bayerano when I started out, which, you know, you're a bug boy, you do what you want, you do what you're told, you don't question anything, you know. But then I went to the fairgrounds with a guy called Britt McGee, which was probably, brilliant.
The great
brilliant
Brit.
Guy. And he turned around to me, and because he used to own horses and stuff like that, you know, long before he ever took my book. So he was a trainer, and he says, if you can get fit, the owner does not have to pay to run. Like, if you run fit, generally your race day medications and stuff is taken care of, right?
Right.
So it instilled in me, and he says, look, if you can get fifth, there's a good chance you might be able to get fourth, you know, and if you can get fourth, there's a good chance you'll be able to get third, and if you can get third, there's a good chance you're able to get second. And then he turned around and he says, you know, if you can get second, you can catch that winner. And he installed it every day for about 3 months. You know, it's important to ride for fifth. Now, don't get me wrong, it's also important to ride for the win or to run second. But his way of telling me, keep trying, always keep trying. And when you've seen me ride, Sean, I've ridden some horses that looked like they were going to be seventh or eighth, and I keep plugging away, and they hop up and they run third, get beat, and neck for second, and and the winner draws away, I run, I should be seventh, and I end up getting up to run third or fourth, you know, just because of my will and wanting to get them there, you know.
As an owner or trainer, I think one of the most important things when it comes to jockeys is consistency, knowing what you're going to get. And I think that's something that you have certainly been consistent through your career. I mean, you must pride yourself in that, to go out and do that job every day and be consistent in it.
Well, I've always wanted to be the best I can be, sure. And the best I can be, maybe it's not up there with Johnny Velasquez and any of them guys, but you give me the same amount of horse, we're gonna give them a run for their money regardless of what happens, you know? I'm always going to try, no matter if it's a $5,000 claimer or a grade one race. You know, they're going to get the same 110% I give every race.
Is that who you are as a person, or is that something, I mean, like the Great Brit, I mean, did he kind of teach you that? I mean, how did you kind of develop that? Is that just who you are? Is that just a work ethic?
I just think built into me. It's me. I'm great with a laugh. I've always got a very positive attitude. It's, if you see me with a down, there's something wrong, you know. There's, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
sure.
I'm a lovable guy. I think I'm a lovable guy, but
No doubt.
I bounce away and I laugh and I joke, but I'm in this for the horse, you know. It's like, if I wanted money, I'd be robbing banks. I wouldn't. This for me, this is not a money-making operation. Now, don't get me wrong, I've made a very healthy living from it, but it's something that I just love horses, Sean, and what I want to do is progress with horses. You know, I like Wesley Ward, if you were riding two or three of his two-year-olds every year, you'd be kind of set for Keeneland, you know what I mean? And probably the rest of the year, but I don't ride that much for Wesley, so I have to work on riding the not so quite well known and try and build up relationships from there. But it's that with everyone, not just me, but me. I'm 110% guy, 365, so it don't matter. And on a leap year, it's 366.
I love it. When I called you this morning, you were finishing a, you know, bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast. I guess maybe that's part of it too, right? You're upbeat and positive because you eat more than these other guys. You're almost one of those natural ones, right? That doesn't have to fight to weight them. Is that's got to play into it, I guess, to some degree.
Oh yeah, like look, when you're able to eat, it's like anything. After every meal, you feel satisfied, right? For me, work and eat, that's satisfaction enough for me. I just keep going. I'll eat, but I work a lot, and I'm always busy. Like, if you come and watch me work, I get on more horses than most jocks in the country in the mornings, you know? But that's just who I am. I enjoy my work. I love my work.
Yeah, no question. No question. We see that. I mean, we see that in your work ethic and how you've kind of gotten those consistent clients and people that, you know, stay loyal to you, and I think that's part of it. Working like that.
Well, I show up when they need me. I'm there, you know.
Take us back to the beginning. So, you know, you're in school and guidance counselor kind of asks you, you know, what are you going to do with your life? I mean, is that how it played out?
Yeah, just about. look, I was in a classroom. We were in a mixed school. There was girls and boys in the classroom, 14 years of age. You know, this is probably going to be the last year in school because you didn't want to be there. Like, education in Dublin, where I grew up, wasn't very important. It was more important to go and get a job, you know?
Right, sure.
And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of well-educated people where I come from. And I mean really educated, like college degrees and stuff like that. But, like, when you're no good in school, you don't apply. You find something that you're good at, or try something that you think you could be good at and get lucky, and then if it clicks, you, who knows where the world ends, you know? But for me, I was not a very good student. I was probably a C average student with a lot of missed tests and NG, I used to tell my mother, was natural genius, but it was no great. So,
I love it.
look, I just wasn't one of them kids that wanted to be stuck into a book.
Right, for sure. But, and that you applied to jockey school, went to jockey school there, and then how quickly were you thinking America, I mean, when you came made the move here?
There was a lot of things that happened. I had a friend of mine hang himself.
Oof.
He was in the same position I was back in Ireland, working your rear end off and kind of riding one here and one there. Very depressive. And he hung himself. Very, very good friend of mine. And it kind of hit harder than it should have. And I just didn't want to spiral into the same position. It's not who I was. It was just what happened, kind of. It gave me the kick in the backside that I needed to kind of, you need to go forward. There's no more sitting in the middle and not going anywhere, you know? And at the time, my girlfriend, Lisa, I said, I just want to get away for a couple of months. I said, I can't do this. I need to get out. So we came to America, and if it didn't work out here, we were going to go somewhere else. So, well, coming over here, we only came over for a holiday vacation. And, you know, I start riding out for Jeff Thornbury, and Lisa start running the shed, and one thing led to another. And Jeff actually wanted me to run the shed, and I told him, look, I don't want to do this. I was running a barn of 40 horses back home. I didn't want to be an assistant anymore. I just wanted, you know, I wanted to be fresh. I wanted to gallop, make a few dollars, kind of just have a working vacation and see where it led to. There was no set plan of coming over here to be a jockey. You know, I thought my riding career was done. I was 22 years of age, generally. Generally, them guys turn around and they say, once you hit your 20s, there's no real need to be an apprentice anymore. And that's how it is back home. Generally, when you start a little later in your career, you kind of get bypassed, if you know what I mean.
Sure, yeah.
But, we left. We came over here. Loved it. Came to Chicago for the Breeders' Cup. You know, it was kind of, you know, it was a little surreal type of thing, but it was cool. It was a great experience. And went to New Orleans, start riding some training races. Figured to myself, man, I could do this over here. You know what I mean?
And, sure.
And look, you know how it is. Generally, you get repaid for hard work. And it didn't matter. I'd get on 6 or 7 with Jeff Thornbury in the morning and go hustle to get on extra, you know? Where a lot of people are turning around, they get on 3 or 4 and they want to take the morning off.
Right.
The rest of the morning off, but I just wanted to get on horses. And the funny thing is, when you want to do that, people will see that and say, hey, what about putting this guy on one? You know? Are you available to get on a couple for me this morning? Yeah, no problem. What time? Hold on. I'm available at this time. We can work around that. Okay, perfect. You know, so, and I was small and I was light. And people start after about 2 or 3 months, they start turning around. Hey, are you going to ride races? I hadn't even thought about it. And then all of a sudden somebody said it to me. I said, well, we'll see. Because I wasn't in any rush. You know, I was kind of just letting it float. Letting it tell me when it was time. So, and that's the way it went.
Wow. And that's life, I guess. I mean, your friend just couldn't, didn't make it. You made a decision to make it, I guess. I mean, that's really
I made a decision to get out.
Yeah.
Ireland is probably one of the tough. I don't care what anyone says. Ireland's racing is second to none. You've seen it 2 weeks ago at the Cheltenham Festival. Second to none. Ireland racing is by far and beyond the rest of Europe. I shouldn't say the rest of Europe, but between Ireland and England, the general passage is if you're a halfway decent apprentice, you go to England because there's more opportunity to ride races. You know, with Ireland being so small and you starting off a little late, all these other apprentices, they've got a leg up on you. They've already been pony racing and stuff for years. They come in, they're well seasoned. They know how to ride a race. They can read a race. Where a guy coming from the city that's probably never sat in a saddle until he was 14, 15 years of age, these kids have been winning races left, right, and center for years.
Right, of course.
So you're behind the eight ball kind of thing, but when you come over and you get a chance to, and somebody gives you an opportunity, you jump and you take, don't look back, go forward.
When you look at your career, hard work, talent, or luck? I mean, how much percentage-wise, how do you look at your career?
For me, I think about 60% hard work, about 30 or 40% luck, and the rest is just God-given ability that you're at, an opportunity that you were given, and like I say, you took the opportunity and ran with it, you know. And the guys who've been behind you, you know, they all have to figure into it too. Like Britt McGeehy and Frank Bernice at the minute. So they've put you in spots to where you do the best you can, you end up coming out on top. And that's agents and trainers with trainers' relationships. You just, people who like you for the way you ride, people who use you because they want to get the best out of their horse, you know?
That's James Graham, winning titles, climbing the ladder, and left Ireland and changed your life. We're proud of you, and thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
Man, do I love those segments. In the Room with Sean Clancy every single Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern. Sean he's brilliant at pulling things out of these riders that you might not often hear. And James Graham, very honest, very candid about his upbringing and about the things that have motivated him and where he is today. Just fantastic stuff, and my thanks to James Graham for taking the time. If you miss any of those In the Room segments, you can catch them all on our website. They're all there for you to listen to at your leisure. Go to our Shows tab at the top of the homepage, find the In the Room segments, and listen to all of them. Ramon Dominguez and Trevor McCarthy and so many good ones. Great stuff. Richard Migliori last week was spectacular. They're all there at horseracingradio.net. When I come back, it's time for a stroll through racing history, then Chad Brown toward the end of the program. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Bet any track from anywhere with Keeneland Select. Keeneland Select offers something no other wagering platform does, a way to give back to the sport you love through Keeneland's reinvestment in thoroughbred racing and fan development. Become eligible for a $100 sign-up bonus after you bet $300 and $50 for every $5,000 wagered with code HRRN10 at KeenelandSelect.com or download the app free on the App Store or Google Play.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
Strike the gold on the outside with Chris Adley taking command. Along the inside, Best Pal into the second spot. Main Minister is third, coming 70 yards to the finish and far away from the rail. Strike the gold wins the Derby by a length and a half. Under the wire, second was Best Pal. Then it was a photograph between the long shot Main Minister from far back, Green Alligator was in the photo for the show spot. And the time on the board is slow derby, 2:03, but Strike the Gold strikes the roses this afternoon.
Oh, who can forget that moment for Hall of Famer Nick Zito and the connections of Strike the Gold, one of my favorite horses of all time, winning the 1991 Kentucky Derby. Dave Johnson had the call of that race. Strike the Gold, the last horse to win both the Bluegrass Stakes and the Kentucky Derby. And we'll see if Essential Quality, who is 3-5 on the morning line in the Bluegrass today, it can be the one to break that, I won't call it a curse, but to break through after all these years. And think about that. 30 years since Strike the Gold pulled it off. And you think about all of the top horses that have come through the Bluegrass Stakes and won that race, obviously. There have been others since Strike the Gold. There have been three others, as a matter of fact, that have prepped in the Bluegrass and gone on to win the Kentucky Derby. You had Sea Hero 2 years after Strike the Gold in 1993. You had Thunder Gulch 2 years after that in 95. And Street Sense in 2007. No winners since. Now, I think you throw out the Polytrack years, because the quality of horses that Keeneland was getting for those races was not the quality we're used to seeing in the Bluegrass. That has since changed with the return to the main dirt racing surface. And Essential Quality certainly looks like he could be the one. But he has to get past the Bluegrass here first. And just because he gets beat today doesn't mean he still can't be the one to come out of the Bluegrass and win. But to join Strike the Gold and Spectacular Bid and Riva Ridge and Dust Commander and Forward Pass and so many others that have won the Bluegrass and won the Kentucky Derby, he'll have to take care of business here in Lexington later today. Strike the Gold, Nick Zito, the connections all tied to racing history, which leads me into this week's edition of A Stroll Through Racing History with Kurt Becker, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland.
Hello, I'm Kurt Becker. Thanks for joining me as I take another stroll through racing history presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. Some 55 years ago, in April of 1966, the Bluegrass Stakes at Keeneland Racecourse in Lexington, Kentucky, was to have been a coronation of racing royalty. Instead, it became the shining moment in the career of a horse who was affectionately known as a class clown. His name was Abe's Hope. The story of the 1966 Bluegrass actually begins with a horse named Graustark. From the famed Darby Dan farm, Graustark was unbeaten in 7 career starts, had a 21-foot stride, and was soon to be syndicated for stallion duty for $2.5 million. Lexington natives tell stories to this day about asking their parents if they could skip school to go see Graustark. Remember, the Bluegrass was run on a Thursday back then. And in most cases, the parents obliged because, well, they too wanted to see Graustark. So intimidating was Graustark that only 2 other horses were named to run against him in the Bluegrass. One was Rehabilitate, and the other was Abe's Hope, an Illinois bred who had been a $7,500 claimer as a 2-year-old and who liked to stick his tongue out at passers-by in the barn area. Hence, reporters nicknamed him the class clown of the barn. Abe's Hope was owned by Chicago business entrepreneurs Joe Bartell and Bob Byfield, who raced under the name of Grand Prix Stable because Bartell owned a Pontiac dealership. The trainer of Abe's Hope was Del Carroll, a 43-year-old native of Pennsylvania who had served in the United States Marine Corps and was an 8-goal polo player. Carroll described Abe's Hope as small, agile, and shifty, meaning he could change lanes in an instant without losing his momentum in the course of a race. Under Carroll's guidance, Abe's Hope had emerged as a contender on the Kentucky Derby trail. He had come within a nose of beating highly regarded Buck Passer in the Flamingo Stakes at Hialeah, and it was enough to cause Colonel Harlan Sanders of Kentucky Fried Chicken fame to offer $100,000 for him. But the Grand Prix stable politely declined the offer. In his final race before the Bluegrass, Abe's Hope had been first across the wire in the Florida Derby. But a bumping incident in the stretch caused the stewards to disqualify him and place him fourth. Bluegrass Day would dawn on Thursday, April 28, 1966, with rain drenching the historic Keeneland racetrack. Another wave of showers would hit Lexington again, shortly before post time for the running of the race. The weather was disappointing. There were only three horses entered for Keeneland's signature event, but one of them was Graustark, who was emerging as the overwhelming favorite not only for the Bluegrass, but also for the Kentucky Derby. When the Bluegrass got underway, Graustark went immediately to the front for jockey Braulio Baeza, sporting Darby Dan's fawn and brown silks. Graustark led by as many as six lengths during the run up the backstretch. But in the final furlong, Bill Shoemaker had Abe's Hope moving with a flourish in the center of the track. Closer and closer he came, so close that when the two horses hit the wire together, neither Shoemaker nor Baeza was certain who had won. Finally, the result was posted. The winner, by a nose, was Abe's Hope. In the aftermath of the race, most of the discussion focused on Graustark and the reasons for his defeat. Ultimately, it was revealed that Graustark had sustained a broken coffin bone, enough to end his racing career, but not life-threatening. As for Abe's Hope, he would make it to the Kentucky Derby, but he would finish fifth behind Kauai King. He did not compete in the remaining Triple Crown races, but he continued racing through age six. Retired to stud in Florida at the end of 1969, he sired three crops of racing age before dying at age 10 in 1973. We remember Abe's Hope on the 55th anniversary of his victory in the Bluegrass Stakes at Keeneland, the day the class clown went to the head of the class with his memorable victory over superstar Graustark. Please join me again next week when I take another stroll through racing history, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. For HRRN, I'm Kurt Becker.
Yeah, my thanks to Kurt. Fantastic stuff, taking a look at Abe's Hope all those years ago. By the way, as part of racing history and history of the Bluegrass, do you realize that it was 59 years ago today, April 3rd, 1962, that the great jockey Eddie Arcaro announced his retirement at the age of 46. Arcaro retired with 4,779 victories, including two Triple Crowns, which he won with Whirlaway and with Citation. And when you look at his record in the Bluegrass, well, as you would expect, that's not too shabby either. He won his first Bluegrass Stakes, his first of four, in 1942 with a horse by the name of Shutout for Green Tree Stable. He came back in 1946 with Lord Boswell, owned by Main Chance Farm, and then won two consecutive runnings in 53 and 1954, Correspondent and Goyamo, respectively. Mrs. Gordon Guberson, the owner of Correspondent, and Woodvale Farm, the owners of Goyamo. And that horse, Goyamo, trained by the great Woody Stevens. So Eddie Arcaro, part of racing history, as we all know, and part of Bluegrass Stakes history in a big way, much like Abe's Hope. When I come back, you're going to hear from trainer Chad Brown talking about all of his contenders in the big races coming up today, and he has a plethora. He talked with Anthony Stabile earlier this week. That interview comes up next on the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Oscar Performance, the pinnacle of success as a precocious juvenile and again at three.
Oscar Performance, bravo! He wins the juvenile turf.
Oscar Performance has won the Secretary of State's.
Oscar Performance goes all the way in the Belmont Derby Invitational.
And the pinnacle of success at four, equaling the world record for a mile in the Grade 3 Poker and dominating the competition in the Grade 1 Woodbine Mile.
But it's Oscar Performance shrugs them off. A gate-to-wire winner.
Oscar Performance, standing at Millridge.
Pin Oak Studs Alternation ranks highly among Kentucky's fourth crop sires by percentage of black type winners from runners. With nearly $5.5 million in earnings to date, Alternation was represented by five black type horses in 2020. His brilliant Kentucky Oaks winner, Serengeti Empress, won the Grade 1 Ballerina at Saratoga and was runner up in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. First or second in six Grade 1 events, Serengeti Empress amassed over $2.1 million. Alternation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
I need to get it. I'm going to get it. I'm going to hang up. 2627. All done. Last call. $2,700,000. And I have Bruce. $2,600,000. Left field. Thank you both.
Thank you all, and you stood here like a champion.
That's hip 28 at the Phasic Tipton Gulfstream sale. Impressive. The son of Darley Stallion Nyquist was purchased for $2.6 million by Jamie McAlmont, agent for MV Magner. And that makes the young son of Nyquist your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Nyquist, an Eclipse champion at two when he won three grade ones, including the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. At stud, Nyquist was the leading freshman sire of 2020 and continues his brilliance in 2021 with his untreated slated to run in today's Bluegrass Stakes. Learn more about Nyquist and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And they turn for home, and here's Escondrea to take the lead. Escondrea has taken the lead at the top of the stretch, and now Awesome Act is switched out to Daylight. One furlong to go. Escondrea, Johnny Velasquez is looking around for the competition. There is absolutely none. Escondrea will win it. Oh, from here to Egypt. He won by almost 9 lengths. Jacksonman was second. Awesome Act was third. And so Escondrea will lead an army of three-year-olds trained by Todd Pletcher as they march into Louisville.
What a call by Tom Durkin. One of so many great calls by Mr. Durkin. Escondrea from here to Egypt. I love that. That was the 2010 Wood Memorial, and it was one of five victories in the Wood for 2021 Hall of Fame nominated trainer Todd Pletcher. The record, by the way, is seven. That was set by Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons. His first came in 1930, his final one in 1957. If Todd can find a way to win the Wood Memorial today, and who would bet against him? He would pull within one of Sonny Jim for the all-time record in the Wood. Fantastic stuff. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you. Been a very busy program. If you missed any of it, head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can check out the podcast of this program at your leisure. I recommend listening to it before you bet the races today, because I did talk about the Wood Memorial with Anthony Stabile, the Big A. I talked about the Santa Anita Derby with Mike Willman of Santa Anita, and I talked about the Bluegrass Stakes with Gabby Gaudette from Keeneland. Chad Brown is going to be a busy man. He has horses in several of the big stakes races today, including the Wood and the Bluegrass Stakes. And Chad took time to talk with Anthony on our race day program yesterday about all of his contenders. Here's what he had to say.
A strong winter for the three-year-old brigade from the Brown Barn. Let's start with Risk-Taking. Both Risk-Taking and Crowded Trade, actually, got to take a page out of the Big A's book. They spent the entire winter up here in New York.
Yeah, you know, we've had a lot of luck through the years, you know, training in New York, and if you can, you know, catch a winner that's not too bad, it's and you know, dodge the weather a little bit here and there. Otherwise, the horses really do well, I feel. And although we had a few big storms come in, we were always able to sort of duck and dive around them, if you will, and the horses have developed nicely, the ones we've left here.
Started on the dirt, went to the turf. And then the blinkers went on. Talk about the stretch out. Talk about the blinkers. He's really seemed to turn a corner since the added distance and the blinkers were added to the repertoire.
Yeah, you know, we've always liked this horse. In the summer, he was training pretty good. We're actually legging him up at Monmouth. And I spread a lot of the babies out to different tracks to sort of not have them all mags one basket on one surface and sort of let them get legged up and then, you know, try to run the better ones in New York. And this guy identified himself early on as a horse that showed a lot of ability. And then you put that with his pedigree and his looks, and he gives you some hope. Hey, maybe we have a Derby horse down the road or something. Because it looks like he'll run long with that classic pedigree and his long legs. And when I started him, he just, you know, I thought I'd give him a sprint and he'd, you know, hit the board or something and then stretch out from there. But he ran last, and I was quite shocked by it. He didn't really show anything, disappointed. So then I I shifted him onto the turf, thinking this horse just must be losing his action when I give him his head, because he always did everything easy, and he's bred a bit for the turf, and that didn't work out. And got with me. He said, in his debut, he actually galloped out by everybody. It was just too quick a race for him. And I put some blinkers on him, and we'll run him longer. And then he left town, of course. So I had two guys that, subbed in, really did great, between Jose Lascano and Eric Kinsale. They jumped in the spot with the blinkers going long, and both of them rode him terrific. And the horse really responded well, as you saw.
Yeah, when he broke his maiden, he ran really well the day he broke his maiden. And then talk about the Withers a little bit, because it was a big step up. Capo Kane had won the Jerome. He was facing a little bit of a bigger field, and obviously stepping into Graded Stakes Company, again, now knowing that there's been high hopes for this horse since the beginning. Withers, I don't want to say a bit of a coming out party, but last 3/16 of a mile, he really flaunted his stuff.
He really did. Having that mile and eighth maiden under his belt, I think, really gave him some bottom there. And he was able to really take that next step, like you said, and really pleased with it. And, we gave him some time after that race, because the next race was one turn. And I just didn't see the logic in cutting him back in distance. He's done well since, and he's worked along pretty good. Caught one little storm where he missed a work. But I had so much time to work with, I don't think that will be any sort of excuse. He's been working well, and I'm hopeful he takes the next step again.
Yeah, 5 works since that win back on February 6th in the Withers. You didn't run Risk Taking on the cutback in the Gotham, but you did run Crowded Trade. Crowded Trade, an impressive maiden winner. I don't know if we had any more impressive maiden winners here in the winter at Aqueduct. He ran well first time out, going 6 furlongs. Looked like a horse that was going to want more ground. That was a tough beat in a Gotham, but, man, you had to have been really thrilled with how he stepped forward from the maiden race to the Gotham.
Yeah, he did. We had highly motivated in that race as well. And actually, although I think a lot of Crowded Trade, I was going to separate him, put him in allowance race the same day, and the race didn't go. So we was sort of forced to go in this race and run against each other. Otherwise, I really didn't have a plan B other than that. So we did, and he showed up big time. I mean, he was, it was unfortunate he got beat. And the horse on the inside that he got beat by ran really, really well as well. Also, so it ended up being a good race and highly motivated, had some trouble and was third, and we really like him. So I think that race will prove to be a good race moving forward, those horses out of there. And, we'll see if he can get around 2 turns.
The fact that he's a little... He got to the party a little late, didn't debut until 3 and lightly raced. I know a couple of people have mentioned it to me, especially after the Gotham. He's going to draw some comparisons, of course, to 2017 Preakness winner Cloud Computing. Does that go through your head at all when it comes to this horse?
Yeah. I'll tell you, right when the day I debuted him, that's what I told the owner, Seth Klarman. That's what he reminded me of when he asked me, how I can expect him to run. He reminds me a lot of him training. You say that just trying to compare horses that and that, of course, Seth would be familiar with. Not in any way saying he's definitely won the Preakness, or he can be a grade one winner for that matter, but he reminded me a lot of him and our team. And, from his first 2 starts, it's quite possible he's on that track to be a horse as good as him, so we'll see.
You just mentioned the team. You always mention your team. You left both of these horses, like I said, in New York this winter. They're going to be 2 of the 3 favorites in the major prep in New York for the Kentucky Derby. That takes an awful lot of trust in your team.
Absolutely. My assistant, Dan Stoop, and all the other employees, teammates in New York have really done a good job with those 2. And then, of course, we have our a couple of divisions down in Florida, particularly up in Payson Park, where highly motivated and search results have been. So, so everyone's, working together. And like I said, I've always been, so appreciative and complimentary and rightfully so of everyone who really does all the work. And I think, we've had a quiet winter not running too much in Florida, waiting for some fresh turf and some bigger purses up north, both in Kentucky and New York. So, you know, I'm proud of my team for also being patient, sticking with it. And they've always, you know, they buy into the program and into the goal, really, by me. And that is, you know, our particular season release from April to December. And that's you know, what I want them to really focus on. And, you know, it's go time now. So I expect these horses to show up and run their best races.
Let's talk a little bit. We're going to bounce. We're going to go to Kentucky quick before coming back here for the Gazelle in New York. Highly motivated. Another one. This one I know you've been high on. We've talked about him numerous times. You've been high on him from day one, took the beat to stablemate founder in his debut, and then rattled off two very nice victories. His Gotham, little traffic trouble, but I would imagine you're happy with that race, first time beyond 6.5 furlongs, first start in 4 months. You think he got enough out of that to get him around the two turns for the first time in the Bluegrass tomorrow?
You know, I do. He's a horse I wasn't sure about all the way along as far as how far he'll run. I mean, he identified himself as one of our very best dirt colts early on last summer, and he doesn't have anything to change my mind about that. What's changed is, you know, how far I think he'll run in a good way. You know, I was a little more reserved about it, and, you know, he's still growing, and, you know, he looked like he had a good burst of speed to run around one turn on the dirt, and he's into mischief, so we'll see. I mean, now it's being proven that horse can really do anything as a stallion, long, short, you know, dirt, turf, whatever. So, you know, to me now, he's grown a bunch. He's just really matured. His mechanics have even improved. So I really don't think a mile and eighth will be any trouble for him, but we will find out tomorrow.
So I got to ask you this, because for people that don't know you, you're a pretty good handicapper. You grew up like we all did, just going to track and hanging out with Patty and Jerry. We all didn't get to hang out with Patty and Jerry. We all have our own Patty and Jerry. That's Chad's mom and dad. There's no speed in this race. In fact, at first call, no horse in the race has ever been in front at the first call. Essential Quality is the only horse that's even been close to a pace, really. He was just a length or so off it in the Breeders' Futurity. Your quote-unquote, highly motivated is quote-unquote the fastest horse in the race, having never went to the lead in his life. When you handicap this race, are you going to go to the lead tomorrow? What are you going to do?
I'm just going to leave it up to Javier. You know, this horse, one thing is he's been a little tardy out of the gate. If I had to say one thing negative about him, his career up to this far. That doesn't have to be him permanently or long-term, but so far he hasn't been the best horse breaking, so that's something to consider, and it'll just see how he breaks. You know, if he breaks really sharp and he finds himself there, I'm fine with it. And if he's not there, you know, someone else is really hell bent on being there. He's not only shown he can rate, but he's shown he can run inside of horses early on in his career. He doesn't mind that at all. So I'm going to let Javier figure that out when the gates open, and hopefully he does break clean and at the very least puts himself in a very forward spot, if not on the lead.
Talking with trainer Chad Brown, he has two of the favorites in the Wood Memorial in Risk-Taking and Crowded Trade. Second choice, I would imagine, in the Bluegrass with Highly Motivated, we were just talking about. Back at Aqueduct quick, Chad, before we let you go. A couple in the Gazelle with points on the line for the Kentucky Oaks. Search Results. Now, she's one you had most of the winter down at the Payson Park headquarters. Big win in her debut. Very nice win against the racetrack in the Busher. I know she was on the lead, but she was in the two path on a day where the rail was gold. She went after the horse on the lead on the gold rail, and she got the job done. She looks like one that's going to handle a lot more distance. Do you feel like the distance is a non-factor tomorrow?
It's always a question. You know, I mean, she sort of looks like she won't have a problem with it, and she's bred for it. She's definitely bred to get this distance. And when you look at her, I mean, she's pretty big filly. I mean, this horse is, you know, she's every bit of just over 16 hands now. She's big, strong, made the right way to do this. But you got to do it. So so we'll see. And she's training quite well. And, that aqueduct mile and eighth, a tough mile and eighth. It's pretty demanding. And we're going to see if she can do it. So fingers crossed she can.
You talk about it demanding at the Big A, going the 9 furlongs. Your other entrant, the Grass is Blue, has done that. So I have to mention her, of course, because I want the white pies to continue flowing at Novae in the summer for my man Louis Lazzanaro. She was against that racetrack in the Busher last time. This is going to be her third start with blinkers. The Busanda win, she looked a little confused with the blinkers. What kind of what kind of report did Manny Franco give you with the blinkers? Because she's one I think is a little bit of a live long shot in here tomorrow.
Yeah, I feel the same way. She's definitely better around two turns. First time with the blinkers, she was pulling a little bit early and a little on and off the bit down the backside. And I thought it really, all in all, was a big positive move for her around the two turns. And blinkers have helped her. So, I'm expecting her to take another step forward the way she's been training, and especially around those two turns, like I just said. And I think she's very, very live in this race.
All right, well, live all weekend long. Thanks for some time today. We'll let you get to it. Best of luck, and hopefully I'll get to see you soon.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for having me. You guys take care.
All right, Chad Brown with the Big A. Anthony Stabile previewing all of his contenders that are coming up in the big races today, including the Bluegrass and the Wood Memorial. Chad's still looking for that first win in the Wood. In the Bluegrass, he has won it. He won it, if you remember, with champion Good Magic in 2018. He's going to be looking to add a second one to his resume later this afternoon. But, again, my thanks to Chad for taking time to get with the Big A and walk through all of those horses. You heard Gabby Gaudette earlier in the program from Keeneland talking about some of the contenders in the Bluegrass Stakes today. And for her, it comes down to the two favorites, Essential Quality, 3-5 on the morning line. Undefeated, a perfect 2-for-2 at Keeneland. This is a horse that is currently the favorite for the Kentucky Derby, and he has looked every bit the favorite in all four of his starts. Highly motivated, the horse to his inside for Chad Brown is 3-1 on the morning line, and the horse that Gabby felt had the most upside of any of the other contenders in here and the most likely upsetter. Now, that's a bit of a Captain Obvious type of statement, considering the fact that you're talking about the second choice in here. But a horse that has shown plenty of maturity and comes out of that third place finish in the Gotham in his 3-year-old debut, you got to figure maybe he needed the race. He was the heavy favorite, though. He looked to lay over that field. He didn't. Can he make amends under Hall of Famer Javier Castellano this afternoon in the Bluegrass? If he does, he has to knock off the champ. It's that simple. You want to be the best, you got to beat the best. And we'll see if Highly Motivated can do it for Chad Brown coming up later today. All right, when I come back, I'll tell you what's ahead here on the Horse Racing Radio Network and a word for Blood Horse. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
McKinsey, new for 2021 at Gainesway. The son of Kentucky Derby winner Street Sense, McKinsey was named a TDN Rising Star following his 5-length debut victory at Santa Anita and was an undefeated Grade 1 winning 2-year-old, the fastest juvenile of 2017. McKinsey scored 4 Grade 1 victories in his career with Grade 1 wins at 2, 3, and 4.
Furlong to go. McKinsey is in front. Axelrod set down by Joe Bravo. Mike Smith working on McKinsey. McKinsey holding on. Axelrod is full out. McKinsey is clear as they come down to the finish. Baffert, Smith, McKinsey, they've done it. McKinsey has it by 2.
Coming to the final furlong, McKinsey's in front. Yoshida runs after him on the outside. Vino Rosso is third. McKinsey comes by the 16th pole, and he's going to do it. McKinsey has won the Whitney.
11 triple-digit buyer speed figures. Earnings over $3.4 million. McKinsey standing at Gainesway.
There's a corner of Kentucky in Bourbon County, which some refer to as the Promised Land. There's something in the soil and water that make it something special. So special that some of the world's greatest horsemen have staked their claim in the soil just outside of Paris. Iconic names such as Claiborne, Coolmore, Stone, and Darley grace the fence lines which have housed champions for generations. The name Alapa shines as a tribute to the Gilded Age, sharing the stature and grandeur of its neighbors. Born from the wealth, passion, and imagination of Edward Sims, no expense was spared to fulfill his vision. Sims was in the same league as John Madden and Arthur B. Hancock Sr. as a commercial breeder. The torch has been passed. Welcome to Hill and Dale at Alapa.
Fans, join us online or, if possible, in person this Saturday, Run Happy Santa Anita Derby Day. Please be advised there will be no walk-up admission to either the grandstand or infield. All attendees must get their reserved seats in advance at santaanita.com/open. Join us early on Saturday, as first post time for a 12-race card is at 12 noon. In addition to the Grade 1 $750,000 Santa Anita Derby, we'll have the Grade 2 $400,000 Santa Anita Oaks and four other stakes. Additionally, there is the possibility of a $5 million pool in the 20-cent Rainbow Pick 6, as there will be a mandatory payout on Saturday. And don't forget, if you can't be here, you can still watch every Santa Anita race free of charge at santaanita.com/live. And be sure to join Tom Quigley and track announcer Frank Miramati for an in-depth handicapping seminar Saturday beginning at 10:50 a.m. at santaanita.com/live.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Well, the 130-page April issue of Blood Horse Magazine is a cover-to-cover read with 12 feature stories that include turf rules. The Maker's Mark Mile is the cornerstone of an increasingly prestigious turf program at Keeneland. Bob Baffert's Many Roads to the Derby. Bob Baffert has an undeniable talent for identifying classic potential in young horses and mapping out individual campaigns to have horses ready for the first Saturday in May. You can check out Bold Course. Aiden Butler is changing with bringing the Stronach Group's properties to Maryland, Florida, and California into the future while focusing on animal welfare and helping horsemen. That's a great one by Lenny Schulman. And The Business of Racing by Frank Angst. You can download a copy of the issue now from the Blood Horse Magazine app via the App Store or Google Play, or subscribe at bloodhorse.com/subscribe. Well, what a show. Man, it has, well, for me anyway, it has flown by. I hope you've enjoyed it. 3 hours in the books. Here's what's ahead on the Horse Racing Radio Network before I wrap this one up. We are going to be at Churchill Downs all week long, beginning on the Tuesday before the Kentucky Derby. We'll be there on April 27th, the first of three Derby countdown shows presented by our friends at Hillendale. Those are 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. They'll be hosted by Bobby Newman, and the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, will join him. Those will be hosted live from the backside of Churchill. Then, on Friday afternoon, our coverage of the Kentucky Oaks. On Saturday, this show, the Equine Forum, kicks it off from 8 to 11. Then I come back in the afternoon with the Derby Undercard program, covering all the stakes races leading up to the Derby. And at 5 o'clock Eastern, our exclusive radio coverage of the Run for the Roses in partnership with NBC Sports Audio Network. All of that coming up in just a few weeks as we count down to the Run for the Roses. Well, my thanks to the Big A, Anthony Stabile, to Greg Helm, the owner of Hot Rod Charlie, who was with me in the first half of the program, to Mike Willman from Santa Anita, to Gabby Gaudette from Keeneland, to James Graham for taking time to visit with Sean Clancy with our In the Room segment, to Kurt Becker for his stroll through racing history, and to Chad Brown for taking time to talk about all of his contenders. All of that made up a very busy program. 4-3-2-1, April 3rd, 2021. I wonder how many of you will be boxing those numbers or playing it cold in a superfecta later today. Hey, why not? Give it a shot. Good luck at the races. Thanks for listening to the program here today. My thanks to my producer, Lee Delapina in our Lexington studios, to Chauncey for handling our social media. If you missed any portion of the show, head to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can check out the podcast at your leisure. You can follow us on social media at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next time. Go Steelers.